You ever get a mushroom? They used to mix ecstasy with like coke in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And shoot it in your asshole at these fat clubs.
Jesus Christ.
With a baster because it hits you harder. Like people.
You ever have that?
No, I wouldn't, you know. Please. I thought about putting a coke rock up my ass. They say you get fucked up. What is that, that tonic you're drinking?
This iced tea.
Iced tea. You made it at home?
Yeah, the ghetto shit you mix up. Yeah.
Where's the wife?
She left her back at the house.
All right.
I don't know if we broke up.
Do the end?
Jesus Christ.
Let's do this shit.
The show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off all of the great products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. It's code word CHURCH to get 10% off. Also, go to IronDragonTV.com and use code word JOEY to get 2 free rentals off of your favorite martial art movies. They have Onnit Lab videos. They're the leader in 4K technology. You're laughing, I'm already still making sense, which isn't going to last for long. Use code word JOEY to get 2 free rentals. Also, the show is brought to you by NailedItLife.com, also makers of Los Gummies Hermanos, some of the best edibles on the market, the best edibles on the market.
250 milligrams hasher on that motherfucker.
They don't mess around. If you live in California and you don't have Los Gummies Hermanos yet, you have to go try it.
You're slipping.
They also have the premier vapor pen on the market for the all the oil and wax smokers out there. If you use code word Joey Diaz, you're going to get 20% off of your order. And go to hitecigs.com. Hit letter E, cigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars for you. And right now, hitecigs.com is doing a pick 5 campaign. You get 5 e-cigs for $50 using code word Joey's Church.
Oh, shit. It's the Monday night motherfucking edition. Monday. June 8th, you bad motherfuckers. We're back with a vengeance tonight. Steve Simone, the Flying Jew. It's a little Monday night in North Hollywood, cocksuckers. What's up, you bad motherfuckers? Joey Diaz here, your host, co-host, with my main man, the Flying Jew. And in-house tonight is my brother from a different mother, Philadelphia's own, Steve Simone and shit. Fucking hooking us up on Easter, making fucking meatballs and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful. Thank you for
having me. I tried my best. It was good to have family there.
Yeah, you always make it seem like a family. That's very nice. You're one of the few people that really goes out of the way. Fucking tremendous desserts.
Oh, my God. You had baked ziti, which I think you made for me because I've been talking about
it. I did a lasagna, and then I was like, hey, keeps on talking about baked ziti.
Fucking baked ziti. I love
it. We should do that this Sunday.
What's that? Baked ziti?
Yeah.
Baked ziti day.
Because I'm finally in town for a little bit. We'll do it up. Let's do it. Sunday.
Sunday. I'm in town, too. Let's do it up, Lisa. Yeah, what do you think, cocksucker? How was your weekend, little Lee?
I had a good weekend.
What'd you do?
Just kind of hung out. Paula had her first week at work, and she's a little under the weather, so we just hung out. We worked out. Just had some good food. Started watching The Sopranos, and we started watching The Wire. So we had a good fucking weekend.
Double festival. You didn't get no sun. That little suntan you got last week fucking lasted 3 days.
I'm afraid to go back down immediately.
And canoe. You know what I'm saying? You should have gone to Santa Barbara and jumped in that fucking
oily kayaking,
water.
But that scares Paula.
Does she? So what the fuck? Just put her in a kayak with a helmet like everybody else does. That's what they do. They put a helmet on those people.
She's not worried about her head. She's worrying about drowning.
Fuck it. What did you guys do last week? Didn't you go in the ocean?
Yeah, we did those little water bikes. That's like
in the water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's impossible to fall. If you fall off, you deserve to fall off.
If you fucking fall off, you deserve to die anyway. Hopefully a shark will fucking bite you riding a bicycle in the water. What's wrong with you, cocksucker?
It was fun, though.
I know, it's fun. All
right. How was your weekend?
Very good. Denver was, it was weird because it hit me hard Thursday, what had happened. It's like, listen. There's an expression that at the wake, at Meadow Soprano's wake, the mother, somebody said, Livia Soprano, if she fell in the sewer, she'd come out with 2 fucking gold watches. You know, she's one of those people. I got to tell you something. I went through some bad times in my life, but I always came out on top. I don't know how I did it.
Amen. Oh, it's not an insult. It's not like an insult.
No, no. When I went to prison, I could have been so worse. And it came out, and it was everything in my favor. You know, I didn't get exactly what I wanted. But at least I got out of there. It could have been worse. Could have been 9 fucking years.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
This situation. Listen, when I left Boulder in June, what happened was in 95, I was going through this war with my ex-wife. And I went to Michigan to do a weekend Memorial Day, and I met this crazy stripper, the one that I pulled the aluminum foil out of her asshole. And she came to Colorado, and she goes, I'm moving to Seattle. She spent a week with me in Boulder with her brother. And then she went to Seattle, and she's like, I'm going to get an apartment for us. Come on up and stay with me. So I had that option. The Comedy Works had banned me, and I had nothing going on with the wife or whatever. I was basically broke. I mean, I basically had maybe $300, and Tribble called me and gave me a bunch of work that led me to Seattle.
Wow.
Like it was like a godsend. Like the last night was in like LaGrange or Oregon, which is like 8 hours from Seattle. I did the gig and just flew to fucking Seattle. And it was weird. I left and I was a broken man. I was heartbroken of what had happened. They took my daughter, you know. I was broke. All I had going for me was I really, really wanted to do comedy. You know, something I finally, after all these years, besides coke, there was something I really, really wanted to do, and I would risk my life for it at this point. And I was frustrated because you want to get good. You want things to happen, and nothing happens. It's a slow process. Yes. And I was at the 3-year mark, the 4-year mark.
That's where you go crazy.
And nothing was happening. And finally, the phone rang in January, and it was Tribble. And he goes, hey, of the 95, he goes, hey, I got a gig for you. If you do well, I'll open the books for you. And he did. Then he kept opening up for me like 3-4 weeks. I got, you know, that's how I did Tribble runs all the way to I moved to Seattle. And even then, I did Tribble runs till 2000 was my last Tribble run.
Wow.
Because sometimes you just want to get really good. You want to work on a half hour.
The only way to
do is a Tribble run.
Yep.
It's 5 nights a week. You drive. You got a lot of time to think. You're not settled. There's no comfort zone. You're fucking gone, you know? The rooms suck, but that's what makes you a better comic, you know?
Yeah.
So when I left, I had all these things going on. Nothing was going on, and I was a broken man. I get back to the club. I headlined it that I got banned from. So I left a criminal and came back a headliner.
Wow.
You know, and I didn't realize it till I got on stage that night and I went back to my room. And it was so hard to digest that I didn't sleep all fucking night.
No.
Like, I'm like, how did this happen?
It was all a dream.
No, it was, what's that song by the Talking Heads?
You may find yourself.
You know, and living in a shotgun shack. Or you may find, how did I get here? And that happens to me once every 90 days I'm driving.
I'm surprised because I asked you before you left and you didn't seem like it was fucking with you that much, but
once I got there and I started walking around, and once I got to the club, I said, wait a second, I got thrown out of here. And I got thrown out of here when I was down, which is even worse. When you get thrown out, when things, like I got thrown out and I immediately registered that I wasn't going to get nowhere in Denver. I was going to work McKelvey's and Wits End, and they were like 2D rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't like it dirty. The one room was Christian. I wasn't going to go nowhere. I mean, Wits End paid $800 a week to headline. And they gave you an old station wagon to drive around town. So if you didn't have a car, you know, and they stayed in the condo. It was horrible. McKelvey's paid like $1,000 to headline Tuesday to fucking Sunday. I wasn't going nowhere.
Yeah.
So I took off. I said, if you're not at the Comedy Works, there ain't no reason to be in Denver if you can't work the Comedy Works.
Yeah.
And it was just weird to go back. And some of my friends came. Like, then the other side of the token was the guys I hung out with were always chasing shit. The people I hung out with were salesmen.
Mm-hmm.
So they were always chasing for the better sales job, you know. They would go from car dealing. And then when they get mad at car dealing, they go sell stocks or investments. And then when they get mad at that, they go sell fishing poles. Yeah. And they were always chasing $10,000 more.
Yeah.
But, is the air on?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking warm in here. But.
Do you want to turn it up?
Yeah, turn it up a little bit. Turn that motherfucker up. Those mushrooms are settling in.
Me too.
And that's what would kill me on the other side, that if I wouldn't have tried comedy and sat in Boulder, I would have been one of those guys. I have nothing against them.
Right.
But right now, they're my age, and they're probably making $80,000, and they're working 6 days a week. If they would have stayed at the same dealership and crunched their legs in right now, they would have making $100,000 a year just showing up because all those old deals come back to you after 5-4 years.
Absolutely. So there's a great life lesson.
No, they all travel. Remember, life is all, what's that expression? Grass is always green on the other side, but it really fucking isn't. You know, sometimes, I tell people this all the time. Sometimes people come to me and go, you know what, man? I'm selling encyclopedias, but I'm not making the money I want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what are you going to do, Lee? Well, I think I'm going to get a part-time job to supplement my income. So You're going to sell encyclopedias from 8 to 5 on the phone, and then you're going to go supplement your another income job. Why don't we do this? Why don't you go to the fucking a bookstore and buy the Harvey Lembeck or whatever the fucking guy's name is that teaches you how to sell. Yeah. There's always a book in there
always.
That teaches people how to sell. And you get on that fucking phone or whatever the fuck you're selling, and you stick it out, and you keep, because what these guys are doing, we're moving around every 90 days.
Persistence is.
And this is fucking, I've been doing comedy 24 fucking years, so these guys have been moving. Like when my friend came to see me, I go, you still at whatever Honda? He goes, no, that was 5 years ago. I went to investments, and I went to sell wine door to door. And I'm like, you know, I didn't say nothing to him, but that night when I got home, I did the sign of the cross. And I said, how fucking lucky am I that at fucking 50, I'm still not moving from dealership to dealership. Oh, my God.
Well, what do you,
so blessed.
What happens, because I've heard both of you guys talk, like what happens for comedians and actors who have to move, change like management and agency? Because you have to change, like you outgrow it at a certain point, but then like do you ever worry like, oh, maybe I'm making the mistake. I knew this guy. Like it must be kind of weird. Like, well,
there's a
the
bunch of
choice.
Variations, but what happens is, you know, sometimes an agent retires. Okay, sometimes you'll get a call and say, this guy's like, I'm leaving the business. But sometimes you get an agent that calls you and says, I'm going to a different agency. And they bring a few people with them. And, you know, so now you have to, whoever you tell no to is going to be mad at you. Yeah. You don't win. You know, you don't win.
Right, yeah.
You have to tell somebody. Some people don't give a fuck about it. I do, because I get involved with them, because I feel that when I get involved with an agent, he'll work for me a little bit more personally.
Yeah.
So well, I get involved with them.
It happens with, like, every time I left a job, I'd be like, fuck. Like even before college, like when I was working at CVS, every time I left, like I went to go to the movie theater, and I hated the movie theater the first couple of days. So like you worry about like you made the wrong choice. So I can see where your friends are coming from.
You never listen. Once you go, you fucking go. Once you go, you go. You don't look back. There's no wrong choice. If you do what's an educated guess, a hypothesis, or
yeah,
whatever, okay. You know. I'll sit down. I thought it out when I got the call that Thursday. I thought it out. I sat down all weekend. I was somewhere, and I did the fucking Abe Lincoln close and the pros and the cons, and I thought it out, and I knew the major decision was somebody's feelings were going to get hurt.
Yeah.
If I stayed at one place, I was going to hurt the one guy, and if I stayed at the other place, I was going to hurt the one guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you got to remember it's your agent who got you there. Ari made a good point, because I called Ari, and he goes, when I was with Origin, when what's-his-name left, they called me and said, so now we're ready to go to work. Lawrence, who left, and he's like, well, I'm not staying. I've had Lawrence since day one. He's the one that got me all this work. I can't just fucking can him and stay.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like agencies where you sign across the board with somebody, because now you're fucked for everything else.
Yeah.
So you want to go with Aqua for commercials, you want to go with CAA for bookings, you want to go with, you know, Fountain Blue fucking agency. So that doesn't happen. That's why people say when you go across the board, it's a bad thing.
Makes sense. I never thought about it like that, but it's true. But you limit yourself.
But it's just weird how this this thing happened this weekend, that it was full fucking circle. And you sit there and, you know, that night I thought about, did I ever think of this happening? Not in a million years. I always thought maybe I'd get better at doing comedy, but I didn't think the comedy works would take me back, so... I'm proud that they did. I'm really happy. They had some great shows. Great people came. You know how that club is, bro.
It's the best.
That club's a fucking monster. That club. And if somebody's high energy and loud, that club is built for them.
Yes.
Because it's low ceilings and shit.
Yes.
You know, I had great sets. I had to work with Steve McGrew, who was a fucking killer to follow. But he lifted the room. He just took him out of the fucking dregs. He's such a brilliant comic, you know?
Yeah.
Worked with a couple guys. I worked with Rick Kearns. I hadn't seen Rick in 20 years.
I know that name. I don't know if I ever worked Denver. With him, but I know that name.
Rick was a guy that I looked up to more than Todd Jordan. Todd Jordan was helping me, but Rick didn't give a fuck. Rick threw bottles at people's faces. Rick threw drinks at people's face. You know, first time I got a call from Rick, we were working for Bill Bauer. Not Wild Bill Bauer, who's dead. Bill Bauer was a skier that booked rooms in Colorado. Great sweetheart of a guy. If it wasn't for him, I couldn't pay my rent a couple. Because I would call him and go, I can't pay rent. Can you front me the money and then just give me gigs? And he'd do it all the time. That's how cool he was.
Wow.
So Rick called me one day and goes, hey, I need for you to pick me up. I need for you to do this open for me. I'll give you $200, but part of that $50 is for driving. You got to drive. So I'm going to never forget. He got to my house. He's like, you take the keys. Stop at a liquor store. You know, wow. First thing is first, emptied out a fucking Gatorade, put vodka in it, and we drank that all the way up to Riverton, Wyoming. And I was like, Lee, there was no saying no to Rick Kearns. Mm. You don't tell Lee, like, no, I don't feel like drinking. Fuck, I used to drink with him.
Yeah.
Because I knew he wouldn't stop. And we'd do these gigs, and we'd write together, and he just, he was the opposite of Todd Jordan, was very professional, very on time, wore nice. Rick Kearns was me. He was dirty. He yelled at club owners. Then he went to, when I moved to Seattle, he goes, I'll help you any way you could, because he took fourth in the SF San Francisco comedy competition.
Wow.
In like 85. So I was up there in 80s, what the fuck am I talking about? He won it like in 95. I was in Seattle in 96, so he told me that he gave me all the references to call Fox and everything. But he got arrested in Chattanooga for going to buy crack.
Oh,
and they threw him in the cell and they sprayed him. He cursed at the cops and he fought him. So they sprayed him with mace and they put him in the hole. And every time the sun shined on him, it would kick up the mace. And he would be in there crying and scratching. Fucking, I sent the money in jail.
Wow.
And he came out and he got a great radio gig. And then he was writing for the puppet from Vegas, the one that won America's.
Oh,
He was the
Ahmed guy, right?
Yeah, artistic director.
Jeff.
Not for Jeff Dunham, the other guy.
No, the other guy. Some guy with a puppet, like a hand puppet.
Yeah, that guy killed it.
Yes, the guy killed it. You know, he's just a great guy. Now he's writing for Ron White, and he writes for, he's a great.
That's great.
Bro, he charges $3 an hour. I think it's $300 a joke and like $5,000 a bit or something. That is crazily.
What is that like? Is that a lot for?
I never knew what people charge.
Me neither.
I don't even know what people charge.
Like, have you ever tried to think about what you would charge for? Like, not that you would ever write, but like, since a lot of your day is spent writing and like not making like a salary, like, have you thought about how much writing makes you?
No.
No, that's a lot of money.
That's a complete different animal to get involved in.
Yeah.
That's a complete different animal, because if you're writing, now you got to get the writing agent,
right.
And you always got to write for free for a while. Gotta write for free.
I just meant like your writing, like how much you think it's worth. Like
garbage.
Really?
Garbage. Nobody says Joey's a good fucking writer, right? So move on with the fucking
I completely
question.
Disagree with that.
I'm not a good writer. I have
yes,
more energy.
You are.
No, I don't. I have more energy. That's what sells the joke. I do smoke and mirrors, my friend.
No, it's all tied
and
together.
Voices.
No. You're such a good writer and your voice is so unique. That's why you don't think it's good, because nobody else in the world could do it. That's how you know your writing's brilliant. Because you tap into what comedy is. It's giving the audience A plus B, and then they make the connection C. It's giving them the dots, and then they have to connect the dots. You're a master of that. You put that, like every great performer, you put that feeling in somebody's chest. It's the whole reason to use words, is to create that feeling. It's not what you say. It's what you make them feel, and that's what you kill at.
I didn't know.
Of course. I watch you, and I'm like, ugh, genius.
I didn't fucking know that.
Yeah, you're the best. That's why you're the guy. Everybody
this
watches.
Fucking guy trying to embarrass me.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying. I should. I'll just
trying
be quiet.
To embarrass me over here in front of my friend. That shit. You calling me a deadbeat?
Sometimes
here?
I'm on your show and I just can't believe I'm here. It's
you
the
know,
best.
What the fuck? How you doing, man? What's going on in your world? You talked to Gabriel, the boys. They showed up.
I just
in
texted
Vegas.
Him today about a pro wrestling article I read. Been around the world since Easter. From Easter that Monday, I flew to China. Then I was in town for a couple days. Went up to Yuck Yucks in Calgary. The best. They
the
love
best.
You up there.
They're great.
Canadians are my favorite people.
Canadians are crazy.
The
bro.
Nicest.
When it comes to comedy, it's in their fucking blood.
Blood.
It's in their blood.
Absolutely.
Man. That's the thing with comedy. Like, they love it. They love it, and they love it when it's crazy, and they love it when it's loud, and they just love it. Canadians
yeah,
have
amazing.
This different patois than
I
the Americans
them.
Have.
I love them. And then from there, I did a USO tour with Byrne. We went to Iraq and Kuwait. And then I just did a bunch of one-nighters with Paulie through Texas and Wisconsin. So now I'm in town and I'm on the church of what's happening now.
Now, how long are you at home for?
This is the longest stretch I've had since the CD came out. So since November, I'm in town for like the next gig I know for sure I've booked is the week after 4th of July, La Jolla Comedy. Lee's already laughing.
Yeah,
I'm in San Diego again.
Why don't you just buy a house in San Diego?
One day I will.
Jesus Christ. What are you giggling about, fucko?
Because I just knew. Like he'll ask me like once a week, how's Steve Simone? And like the last couple weeks, I had to say San Diego. Like you were just there like a few months
yeah,
ago and
that.
Then like 2 weeks ago.
One nighter down
so
there.
He always just said Mr. San Diego.
Mr. San Diego. That's his fucking name. He loves it. Nobody goes more to San Diego than Steve fucking DeSimone.
It's one of the only good open one-nighters you can get from L.A., right? There's always somebody's got a room down there that they'll throw some cash at you.
They got a ton of rooms down there. Tons. And they got the Harrah's, Monica's Book and Harrah's. They got a ton of shit in San Diego. And years ago, they had nothing. La Jolla and something else.
Oh, yeah. Moondoggies, whatever the hell it was.
They still do Moondoggies.
Get out of here.
Tuesday night. Somebody's got to be booking it. Somebody. And they had three rooms down there. They had the one room, I forget the name, on Monday. So that didn't last long, but it was great. Then they had Tuesday night, Moondoggies. Then Wednesday was the shithole next to them.
Yes.
And then you went to that Rosita's, the Mexican place around the corner.
That's my world. Yeah, I like it down
there. The carnitas from there are the best carnitas I've ever had in my fucking life.
Oh, the Mexican food in El Paso was so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
Did Patrick Candelaria show up? Patrick Candelaria, big guy. Mm-mm. Who was the MC? It was just you and Paulie?
Yeah, two-man show.
Okay. They got a couple good comics in El Paso. El Paso was a town that I cut my comedy teeth in, and I fucking cut my comedy teeth in. Like, I don't work for Bart anymore, but I think the last time I worked for Bart was when Freddie died, around 2006, 2007.
Freddie
I went down
was
there for the 4th of July. And it's amazing. It's going to be 10 years this month, right?
Yeah, 10 years in, was it June?
Like a week, yeah. This is it. This is it right now. That's the quickest 10 years out, because the longest yard came out, Freddie dropped. Freddie dropped that June, because I remember I was going somewhere and I couldn't go to the wake or nothing. We had just done the Houston Comedy Festival. It's amazing it's been fucking 10 years.
Longest yard was 10 years ago, too?
2005.
I remember visiting you down on the set. Goldberg was in the trailer next door. Stone Cold Steve Austin's walking by. It was the craziest.
Oh, my God.
Kevin Nash.
You came down a couple times, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah.
I know Ari came down a couple times. And you know what?
That was incredible.
For me, it was a great experience to turn you guys on to it. Like, I was watching this every day. And my head, listen, the first time I walked into the table read, my head just, I just kept sitting there going, I wish there was Periscope, because nobody's ever going to believe me. I wish I had Periscope right now, because nobody's ever going to believe what I'm looking at. Nobody. I mean, nobody. Coming where I came from, nobody would believe when I walked into that room how my value in life was garbage, and I felt even more garbagey because this
one,
he walked, first of all, the guy, when the limo pulled up, Adam Sandler greeted me, said, let me take that, and took my luggage. He had flip-flops on, a pair of shorts.
Wow.
And I'll never forget looking at this guy going, so this isn't your get-up just in movies? This is your get-up in real life? You just don't care. Yeah. Like, he had a flannel shirt on and some broken swim trunks and some fucked-up sneakers on. And he picked up my luggage. He's like, hey, great to have you. Come on, let's go upstairs. And I went upstairs, and there's a table, like a fucking table, like a spread, like a Last Supper, packed with food. And all those savages are eating the food, and they're bringing in dishes. It's paramount. They're bringing in dishes. And they're like, go help yourself. And I took, like, a piece of Sam. I had... And I've told this story before. I had, I don't know, maybe 10 bucks, 25 bucks. I had enough for a pack of cigarettes. I had maybe three or four joints, maybe two joints.
Wow.
And I had enough to tip the fuck. Yeah, I tipped the limo driver $5. I mean, that's all I had. I'm like, I'm sorry. And he's like, don't worry about it. These people take care of me. And I had like $20. And I went in, and I'm sitting here going, when are these people going to ask me how much money I have or something?
Yeah.
They were eating at first. They were eating when I got there. So I just went over and picked it. And the first head I saw was Romanowski. And I just put my head back down. Then I looked up again, and it was the big Indian with Warriors. When I saw Warriors come out to play, in the room, I couldn't even look up anymore. I'm like, these guys are going to fire me. They're doing a background check as we speak. I'm going to get fired.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't. This is just. And then Burt Reynolds like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, great. You know, he's like, sit down next to me. Come on, boy. Sit down next to me. Let's do this together. And I'm sorry. I had him, Irvin.
Wow.
I had Irvin to one side. I had Irvin to the left of me and fucking Burt to the right of me. I had Nick Turturro across from me. I had a Warriors come out to play. And I had Kevin Nash. That's who was right in my view. And I kept looking for my scene. You know, like you had to yellow it and then say the line.
Yeah.
Every time I had to speak, I was like, when are they going to fire me?
Yeah.
And then when I walked out, they go, come here for a second. I go, oh, there you go. They're going to fire me. They go, hey, You got to go to the doctor for a physical, and you have to go sign your contract. We'll only sign you for 4 weeks.
Oh, my God.
That was the deal. I was going to – something was going to happen at the prison to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be able to play, something. But after I was there for 1 week, they paid me to do Ugats.
Wow.
I would take the fucking limo. No, they gave me a rental car. I would take the rental car down there and eat their lunch.
Wow.
You know, like their lunch at one, I would go right down there, eat the fucking chicken, the rice and beans. The first couple weeks, we did everything at the high school gym. And the tables were like, you know, they're fucking professional football players. They want to eat everything. I mean, there was everything.
Yeah.
Eggs, oatmeal, you know, there was everything, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And I would go there and eat and see these guys and go, ah, they're going to fire me. The first week when I didn't work, oh, my God, I was in my room going, they know. They know I kidnapped somebody. They're getting the paperwork ready right now. Oh. For a week, every time I got high, I was get paranoid. They were going to fire me. Then the second week, I didn't work Monday, but Tuesday I did something. We did the, who were we going to kill? The guards. Yeah. Who were we going to rip? The guards. And then we did the opening scene, meatball, whatever. For whatever, what's the line I say? Something.
Which one?
The beginning, the first line, I'm going to tryout. Football.
Tryouts.
Football tryouts. Football tryouts, you dummy. Then the next day I did the stomach. When they put me in, and they're like, go, just talk. And I'm like, don't you fucking cut me, cocksuckers. No, you can't say cocksuckers. Don't you cut me, you fucks. You can't say you fucks, Joey. Don't you cut me, assholes. Like, I was out in the rain. And that scene, they had me on a tarp. It's so weird how you don't see it. They had me on a tarp. And it was fucking about to pour. And they're like, Joey, what do you think? And I'm like, let's shoot this motherfucker. I kept shooting it. And they're like, go. And Adam and Chris Rock are howling. They're on the sides fucking howling. And I'm like, you motherfuckers, don't fucking cut me, you fuck. And I do it again, do it again, do it again. Then the fucking sky blew up. And we all ran to the trailers and shit. And we're all in there. They're all giggling at me, hit me. I tell like, that was great. Now everybody in the set was talking to me.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in the set was like, now you did the job.
Yeah.
Now,
you did it.
Before, you can't say nothing. Until you rock them, you can't say nothing. You got to sit there like you're retarded. Once I did that, you should have heard them. Bam, Joey, fuck. We were dying. Even Nick was like, oh. So now it's raining. But I mean, not regular raining. The sky is black type deal.
Mm.
And we go to our trailers and they go, don't leave. Just stay in the trailers. We didn't want to drive in this weather. So once it's cooled down, they used to have a hut where they would bring all the film to, and everybody, the producers would watch the dailies.
Yeah.
And when I walked out, guys, I never said this to nobody. I could hear them laughing, and I said to myself, that's a shame. I only have 10 more days on this set. They didn't give me a chance to show them what I could really do. Once I get warmed up and now I'm
comfortable.
And when I got, they said, go eat dinner and we'll talk to you. And at dinner, they came and go, Adam wants to see you. When I walked to Adam, he gave me a piece of paper and he goes, sign that. They're going to extend you for 17 more weeks. Congratulations.
Wow.
And we gave you a raise and we'll put you on the F series. You're in. I was like, I had tears in my eyes.
What's F series?
F series means it's like a SAG contract where it's an ensemble cast.
Oh.
So if you're part of an ensemble cast, they have different shooting things. Like you have to show up every day, even if you don't work. There was a lot of little variables that they could, unless you had permission not to be there, you know. So it was just amazing. I went back to my trailer and started crying. I'm like, this isn't happening. This isn't fucking happening, you know. And the next day I got there and they already had the welcome suit. They had like a camera for me. You know, I mean, Adam went, you know.
He really is as sweet as he seems.
Yeah, it was like $1,000. It was like T-shirts and underwear and brand new socks and a camera, accessories for your cell phone. I mean, he went all out. They had tons of shit to give you.
Wow.
And but that was the story, man. And then I would bring you guys when we were here. That was in New Mexico. If I could have brought you guys to New Mexico, your head really would have blown up.
Really?
Because they had Umbrella Girls. They went to Albuquerque and hired strippers for 200 cash a day to come and put them up. The kind of all the football players were fucking them and tormenting them. Yeah. To put them up at the. So they would come every day and just stand with umbrellas and bikinis and hot pants and.
Wow.
And you were assigned a fucking umbrella girl. Are craziness. You fucking crazy? And anytime you move, they move with you.
That's why it's always like this movie cost $100 million to produce. You know, We have Umbrella Girls.
You have fucking Umbrella Girls.
That's insane. Man.
That's insane. So when we brought you, when I got you up to it, like I had to show people this. And I didn't want to show just anybody. Like I wanted to show my blood. I wanted to show comics who I really believed in. Because let me tell you something, man. If I wouldn't have done a warm-up to that movie, I would have gotten fired. I tell people there's two projects that I should have gotten fired from. Mm-hmm. That there's no way I could have come to this. General Hospital, fired. Fired. If I would have came here and they got, whether I would have got General Hospital from the jump, fired. Mm-hmm. That's 101 acting. That's where you don't talk to nobody. They give you paperwork at the gate. Hi, Joe Diaz here. Boom. They give you an envelope. They tell you what room to go to, and they go, keep your eye on the wall. Because there's like a, you know, a stock exchange?
Yeah.
It just moves. It says, scene 38, come to the stage for rehearsal. They don't fuck. You can't be on the stage. You just have to sit in your room dressed.
Wow.
And there's a microphone and a thing. And they'll go, scene 44, come in for rehearsal. You got to go in there, rehearse the scene, go put your clothes on, and you go back in there, and there ain't no cuts. There's no nothing. Let's say the line is, I fucked you in the ass, Mildred, and you fucked everything up except Mildred. They go, pick it up from the top. And don't say, I fucked you in the ass, Mildred. They want you to pick it up from where you fucked up the line. That's how professional they are. They speed along. They don't have time. They don't have time to stop and train you. It's a three-camera shoot against the wall. So they're just moving. They're just moving. So they call you out, and they're like, Joe, are you ready? Yeah. They don't even call you by your name. Scene 34, come out for rehearsal. Blah, 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 blah. All right, we'll see you guys. Go back to your room and change. We'll look up the teleprompter. Scene 24, come back and shoot. You go up there. Beep, 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 beep. Pew. There's no turnarounds. There's no, let's do this. Let's do a halt from the top. Go sit down for 45 minutes. No. They fucking burn right through the scenes. When you go in there, you rehearse that motherfucker. You run back. You put your clothing on. And you come back. I would have got fired from that. And I would have got fired from the longest show. If I would have got that, like,
right away. Yeah,
off couldn't have handled it. There's no way. There were so many variables. The acting, like, you have to remember tattoos. What tattoos you got and where. Because they don't know. They just give the fucking guy a package every morning. Okay? Yeah. So you have to tell them, no, it's right fucking there. So you have to know exactly for the camera. And some of the PAs will come and fuck with you. Bro, you got to go do that tattoo over. It's too close to your knuckle. And they'll have pictures from yesterday and go, look where it was yesterday. Yeah, there was a lot of little things I couldn't get fucking used to. And plus my insecurities. Yeah. Just your insecurity alone. You know, it's not a movie with four college kids.
Right.
This is Chris Major Rock leagues. Looking at you and fucking, you know.
Burt Reynolds.
What's the other guy? You know, the guy that got into the car
Tracy
accident.
Jordan.
Tracy Morgan. And all these fucking people. You can't fuck. When they say, all right, ready, Joey? Yeah, action. There's 200 people watching. You
got to deliver.
This isn't fucking 10 people in a room. There's 200 people going, come on, Joey. And you're like, it's like a fucking fist fight. It's like going to a school play, you know. So it was, I wouldn't have made it. So when I brought you guys, I wanted you guys. I only brought you and Ari.
Wow.
You, Ari, and maybe there was two other people. Dave Crowder, Marilyn's husband.
Oh,
I told
Brett
Reynolds that he was a probation officer. That's how I got him on the set. Like, you're on probation? For what? Don't worry about it. What's his name? Why are you here? And Burt Reynolds got him and gave him an ear beating for like 3 hours about why he wanted to go into law enforcement. So when Dave left there, Dave looks down on me from heaven every day and goes, Joey's all right. No matter what happened. Because I took him on that set and fed him. He ate at the fucking lunch. You ate too?
Oh, it was amazing. You introduced me to Burt Reynolds, the first person you introduced me to.
Did I?
Uncle Burt. Here's Steve Simone of the Philadelphia Simones. And then you got him to start telling Steve McQueen stories about him and Steve McQueen at the Formosa.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, is this happening? So then that happens, and we're having laughs. You're making Burt Reynolds laugh.
The whole time. We're getting
So then Adam Sandler comes over, and Adam Sandler's like, wanted to be in the mix with you and Burt Reynolds. And I'm going, what am I doing here? Don't say anything. And then you introduced me as a comic, and then Sandler told me a story about when he had a big, huge showcase at the Ice House, and he bombed. And forgot everything. And he was like, Joey, we're making movies now. He goes, it's so much easier than stand-up comedy. And I went, oh, where am I?
Oh, my God.
I remember it all.
You know, I love when I love decent people. I love, like, Lee. When I call Lee and tell him, I'm going to fuck you up, motherfucker. We're doing heroin. And all he does, oh, my God. He knows I'm giggling in the background.
Yeah.
When you went up to Adam and, you know, told him your story. Like, Adam, hold on 1 second. Here's the script. Let me talk to you. Adam would look at me, and I could tell he was enjoying it. And I'll tell you why he was enjoying it, because I know I was rubbing a lot of people wrong, but he loved me. Do you follow me? Yes. Like, that's why he loved me even more.
Yeah.
Because he knew I was rubbing the fucking producer wrong. He knew the director hated me. He knew the other producer hated me. He knew, like, everybody was like, we don't know, we should take Joe Diaz. And he's like, I'm going to give this fat fuck a shot. I'll watch him personally. When my nutsack fell out of my shorts, the first person that came over and said, hey, psst, put that speed bag in your shirt, was fucking Adam Sandler. How cool is that? Most people come up to you, what the fuck, you're not decent. Adam was howling. Adam and Joe Rogan are the same person. You know, when they're in the room serious and people are like, listen, Joe, you really got to team it down with Joey. Joe goes crazy. Yeah. I go, why? Why? You better team it down. Why? That guy is fucking fun to have. You know, Joe goes off. And that's how Adam, that day, when I went up to Adam Sandler, I go, and he's talking to all these fucking industry people. We're in, it's the day Nelly's album went double platinum. He sold the two albums the same day.
And whatever it was.
Yes.
And he had that brand new Rolls Royce or Bentley or whatever.
You have no idea, Lee. This is all going on this day. So they come in that morning and say to us, hey, now this is all the people from the movie, and we're in, that's the scene I took my pants off, right? I walk back and I'm like, I'm not dressing for this. And they're like, you have to. And I waited till everybody left the room. I didn't argue. I knew exactly how to get what I wanted. Adam. I didn't fuck around with nobody else. I went right to Adam and fought my case. Like, they wanted me to smoke. And I was like, Adam, come in. I ain't smoking. Who said you didn't smoke? You do what you want, Joey. Don't bother me. That, he loved it. The day he gave me the microphone, you know, it was him that gave me the microphone with all those kids there. And then he ran away, and I could see him in the back going, howling like a kid. Dante was there. That's Dante.
My God.
They said, don't give Joey the microphone. Don't give him the microphone.
Wait, I don't know if I know this story. What happened?
It was crowd. The crowd.
The
was
crowd there. Warm-up
You know,
stuff?
When the crowd warm-up comes in, there's a warm-up.
Yeah.
So they're like that. And Dante knew me. So me and Dante are fucking around. I guess they went to Dante and said, when you pass that mic around, don't give it to Joey Diaz. Adam took it from Dante and gave it to Joey Diaz. And he's like, go up there and do 5 minutes. And people are like, shut it down, shut it down. They're grabbing kids. And Adam is like, feed him, go. He's loving it with his little fucking meme machine shit. I'll never forget it. He was loving it. And then when they came back and they gave him the thing, he goes, don't fuck them. He goes, don't worry about them. He goes, I told them. That's the one who, he gave me that moniker. He goes, listen. As soon as you walk in the room becomes R-rated. They all knew that. Fuck him. And he walked away from me.
Wow.
That's how cool that man was. That's how cool. Anybody, listen, that's why when people talk about Adam Sandler, like his movies, not about his movies, man. It's how he treats people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Freddie, because Freddie Soto did the movie with him after me.
Yeah, Spanglish.
Spanglish. So Freddie went to the premiere with Adam. And Freddie called me the next day. He goes, Doug, I asked him. He goes, I didn't want to ask him during the movie. But I asked him at the thing about, what do you think of my man Joey Diaz? And he goes, hold on one second. He goes, where did that motherfucker come? He stole my movie. He goes, see that? He fucking came on that set. And he was high-fiving people. I mean, you know, after a month, I ran that.
Yeah, of course.
I had my own uniforms.
Yeah, everybody.
I had people giving me massages.
You had guys picking us up on golf carts.
On golf carts.
And gators. I'm like, what is... No, he'll take you to... He'll get something to eat.
Didn't they give you gators?
The guy picked me up.
With gators on.
Yeah, and I go, what is this?
Because Romanowski had a gator company. So he was giving those shoes to everybody. And he gave the gay guy a pink one. Romanowski don't fuck around. He hated that kid. He gave him pink fucking shoes.
You had Roma... Romo, I got a big Eagles fan over here. You introduced me to everybody.
Did I bring you or Ari the day Burt Reynolds hit the touchdown to win the game? Was it both of you or was it Ari? Because Ari said he was right. I was right there. Oh, my God. That's Burt fucking Reynolds. I had to call my father. It was fucking surreal. And now I never wanted you to go on a set and go, this is shit. I was on the longest show with Joey. These motherfuckers are punk-ass bitches compared to what I saw.
Oh, I remember telling people when I got back to the Comedy Store, they were like, I forget who it was. They were like, oh, really? Was that? And I go, you don't understand. And then they told everybody that me and you got into a chicken fight with Adam Sandler and Burt Reynolds. I was on your shoulders, and Burt Reynolds was on Adam Sandler's shoulders. People were like, no way. It was the best.
It was the best. He
so
really,
much fun.
You know, I think Adam, like, I watch Adam in other movies now, and like the other day, Zohan was on yesterday. People didn't like
That's
Zohan.
That's great. I love that
I
one.
Watched it because
That's
it's
pretty
Adam.
Good one. Yeah.
I watched it because it was Adam, because I was thinking how I went to audition. And I wrote him a letter. If I want work, all I have to do is write Adam Sandler a letter. Like, I haven't seen him in 2 years. He just finished the Cowboy movie.
Oh, cool.
I'm writing him a letter next week. I've been thinking about it for like a month. It's time for an Adam Sandler letter. So maybe his next movie's in Hawaii. Because he shoots all those fucking movies in Hawaii, too, you know.
Genius.
They were going to shoot The Longest Yard in Hawaii. I think they would have been. But then they couldn't figure out how they were going to CGI the trees out.
Oh, my God.
That was the problem. They didn't know how they were going to get rid of the fucking palm trees. Really? No, that's why I brought. It's weird. We're still friends fucking 12 years later, and I had the utmost respect. I knew you were going to do something with your life. I just wanted you to see that so you could see what I was seeing through my eyes. And for that whole shooting, I was waiting to die. I'm not going to lie to any of you guys. I was waiting for a building to fall on me, and I was ready to accept it. I was that far. I was such a loser for such a long time. This didn't put me in a high. I never looked at it like
that. That to me is the devil.
No, no, no. I looked at it as nothing had been working out for me for so long.
Yeah.
So when I got this, it was, I felt like something was going to happen. Like I was going to die of a heart attack. I kept thinking a building was going to fall on me. I remember laughing in Santa Fe going, when is this building going to fall on me? It's only 5 floors. It's not going to happen here. It's going to happen in L.A.
200. It's a giant skyscraper.
Not a fucking regular one. It's like a piano is going to fall on me. It was just too surreal.
It's too good.
It was too surreal to be at a table, the prison table at the end when we were eating the chicken. We got so fucking high. I bought a pound for $2,500 and brought it with me. It was so good, the weed. I just brought it with me. I sold half of it to Nelly, and I gave the other half to other people. Me and Nelly and the rest of us were so fucking stoned. Now, what's the quarterback from the other team? He hates weed.
I don't remember.
Him in Nelly's trailer by mistake. And he had smoked weed in there, and he got pissed. He didn't like drugs. So we went out of our way to torment that fucking guy.
Oh, that's hysterical.
The quarterback. But that scene... We got so high, we ate so much chicken, they had to send out and get more stuffing. That's what we were eating. Whatever we were eating in that thing. Oh, the cranberry sauce. We ate the fucking 10 cans of cranberry sauce.
Oh,
they
my
kept saying,
God.
How can cranberry sauce be
that delicious?
We were so fucking stoned, we ate the cranberry sauce. And that scene, we were there for a day. That scene, what made that scene even better was that fucko... we just mentioned him. He was next to me when he ripped the door off the trailer. What was his name? Yeah.
Goldberg?
Goldberg. Goldberg is good friends with the TV host from Chicago, Maury Povich.
I didn't know that.
So he did this. Sorry about that, people. I'm trying to not make the bottle end. So he did a benefit. He brought kids that day. Like, you know, 100 homeless kids or something.
Wow. Maury Povich did?
And we're wrecked. And Goldberg, we're wrecked. We're stoned to the gills. And these kids are walking around us asking us fucking creepy questions. How do I get into stand-up? It's just amazing. I remember hugging this little black. Just, I couldn't. Where I had been, I had never seen anything like that. You know, I had done a movie with James Colburn. I had done little things already. I had done Spider-Man 2 already when I got that movie. But nothing impacted me like the first month of The Longest Yard. I walked around and didn't do anything. I didn't do blow at all in Santa Fe till the last week where I took that little chick home that sucked the bottles that Tracy Morgan kept asking if she wants a black baby. That fucking little dirty bitch. That's the only person I did blow with. I mean, that was it. I mean, I was so in this zone that this is not happening. This is like my mother dying. This is not happening. This dream, I'm going to wake up out of this dream. They're going to fire me. But, you know... it was just a good preparation. Like, it really...
it was amazing. I remember, now in hindsight, I look back at stuff like that. I remember it was Joe Rogan that told me that. He goes, fame comes to you in stages. And it was exactly what you were just saying. He said that... he was like, this has got to be 14 years ago at the Comedy Store, 12 years ago. He was like, if tomorrow night you got on The Tonight Show, there was a fallout, and they go, put Steve Simone on The Tonight Show, and he goes, and you killed it. He's like, you could kill it right now. He goes, but that would be the worst thing in the world for you because you wouldn't be able to handle it. You would lose your mind. He was like, it's got to come to you in stages. He goes, first you're going to become friends with somebody famous. And he was like, that's the great thing about the Comedy Store. He's like, look at it. He goes, do you think of me as famous? I go, I guess so. He goes, yeah. but it's not a big deal to you. He goes, I was just in Florida with Joey Diaz. We were in the mall, and people go, there's the guy from News Radio. This was even before UFC blew up. And he goes, we got chased in the mall. He goes, they didn't know how to handle seeing somebody famous. He goes, but now we're friends. He goes, I'm not Joe Rogan from TV. I'm just Joe to you. And I'm like, yeah. And then he said, he goes, now that's the first level. He goes, the second stage. He goes, one of your friends, and I remember Ren Azizi and Ari were there. He goes, one of these guys, it could be him, it could be him. One of these guys, one of your friends is going to become famous. And he goes, and that's what's going to trip you out. You're going to start going, wait, we're working the door at the Comedy Store together. And now he's making movies. And he goes, and that's what you need. He goes, because then it starts to seem normal to you. You get exposed to it without the pressure of performing. And he was like, and then what's going to happen is you're slowly going to start to become famous and not even realize it. He's going to, because when one of your best friends is shooting a movie, you're pissed that you just got to do The Tonight Show. You're going to go, yeah, I did The Tonight Show, but I should have done The Tonight Show 5 years ago. So it's all going to be behind where you think you're supposed to be. And he goes, and that's how it seems normal to you. And he goes, and that's why you're making movies, but you're really thinking about what are you going to produce next. You don't even think acting in a movie is a big deal. And I'm like, that's genius. It's true. It's so true.
You know, when I came out here, I never expected big things. I knew what I didn't want to be. I knew.
That's important.
I didn't want to be Seinfeld. I knew I always wanted to be a character in a big show. Let them, you know, what's the show with the gay guy, Grace?
Will and Grace?
Will and Grace. That show is not about those two jamokes. I like them both. That show is about the chick, the alcoholic, the little short girl.
I never saw that.
Oh, she's tortured.
I never saw
that. She was fucking tremendous on that.
She was really good.
It was their show, but it was her and Jack.
Yeah.
Who fucking demolished that show. I mean, she demolished that show. She was everything a character wanted to be. Rich, a drunk, married to a 70-year-old guy. All her comments, a drunk, fucking everything. She's just a drunk with vodka. She made that show. But nobody gave her credit. I did Children's Hospital with her. And I saw her running in the halls and doing the clown shit. And I walked up to her. I'm like, listen, that fucking Darman Greg, or Grace and Slick, whatever his name is.
Will and Grace.
You fucking rocked that. And she's like, thank you. I mean, you really rocked that.
Wow. I'm going to have to go back and watch it. Because if you say she killed it, I got to see
it. She kills
it,
dog. She fucking kills it. Every episode. She was the episode.
That's
awesome.
She
was the show. Her and the Mexican maid. And the Mexican fucking maid were fucking brilliant. Brilliant together.
So that's like your ideal role?
Yes. Just come on the show and let me go fucking crazy. Let somebody else be their name on the thing. Let them do all that. I want that. I never wanted that guy. Right. I never wanted to sit in a fucking BMW. I never wanted to walk into a fucking comedy club 8 deep. That's not necessary. Those things are not necessary to me. I don't judge my manhood by me driving a Beamer and throwing keys at a valet.
Right.
I see the attitude. I don't not like Beamers because I don't like them because people get this different attitude when they drive a Beamer, especially here.
Yes.
You know, they don't even, you make all this money and you have all these options to buy a car, but you go buy this Beamer because that's what that's always bothered me.
Yep.
You know, when I did a lot of movies, when I go to studios, I see all these lines up in Beavers.
Same cars.
Beamers. Like, nobody has any creativity. Like, they all want to be part of the same fucking gang.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. That's why a Beamer. And then to what? To spend $60,000 to do 35? Go fuck your mother.
Yeah.
If I get a fucking Beamer, they ain't. If I do 90 in the Subaru, can you imagine what I'm doing in the fucking Beamer? You know? I mean, it's. I was thinking about what's going on with you in your life right now. Right now, you're a rocket ship with all the right people sitting it, but they haven't loaded the gunpowder in it.
Yeah.
Like, you're ready to take off. It's just a matter of, it's like when you go to an airport and they're behind, and there's 15 flights. It's whenever your plane takes off. Because you never really know what's going on, but you can always see a guy that's doing the right choices. I didn't know then, but I know now, that for some reason in all my cocaines when we were fucking around in Vegas with TJ and DJ and whatever his fucking name, that I still was making good choices as a comic. I was still trying. I knew that I wasn't going to make it as a comic. I fucking knew it. I knew that what I wanted wasn't going to come to me as a comic. So I went through the back door. It's funny how all these people on Twitter hit me and they go, Joey, I'm watching you on base. I didn't know. That was me, guy. I've been fucking at this for 10 years.
Sure.
I've been at this for 18 years, okay? Nothing, I could always see when I smell somebody who's looking for a quick hit. I know when somebody approaches me and they have their nose wide open. You can always tell when somebody's walking into a room and their nose is wide open. You didn't come to the store with me last week or the week before. You missed this girl the other night. That, and I always said, I wanted to be funny. I always wanted to be funnier than being famous. To yes. me, I wanted to be funny. To be fuck famous, fuck all that shit.
Earn your black belt.
I wanted to be. You wanted funny. To be a bad. I wanted yep. to learn. I watched I Love Lucy. I watched The Honeymooners. Me I too. Watched Jack Benny. I watched comedy from every fucking level to be funny. To take a little piece from those people, absolutely. Not a joke, a nod from their eye. I watched Jeff. Yes. I watched. You know, the other day I was on the phone with Dom Herrera, and I explained to Dom how many times I watched that Rodney special that he's on with all those famous comedians. I rented it so much they wouldn't take my money at the fucking video store no more.
Wow.
Nobody else was renting that fucking movie when I was right. renting it. But I rented it so much that they were like, Joe, we can't take your money no more. Thank you. You paid for this movie 3-4 times. I lie to people. I tell people that I was a pussy. It wasn't that I was a pussy. It was I was covering my fucking bases. First thing I watched was Punchline.
Yep.
With Tom Hanks.
Yep.
And then after that, you make the call, you buy Judy Carter workbook.
Yep.
You read that. Then you buy the Jean Perret bullshit.
Yes.
And you read that for a little table. While, right? Yep. Now, and in the meantime, I wasn't a pussy. I was preparing myself from every angle, just like jiu-jitsu. I didn't want to miss a beat and I'd come back to it later. So I got the Rodney Dangerfield, both of them, with fucking Roseanne and Hicks and
Kennison
and the black guy that made the movie for $4,000 on his credit card,
Robert Townsend. Killed it.
Father, Dom Herrera.
Father. Big Petey, little Petey, orthopedic Petey.
I watched Dom Herrera killed me. On that. The only fucking times I watched that and made notes and cried and went to bed. And
is it on YouTube?
It's one of the best pieces of stand-up
ever. Rodney Dangerfield's comedy specials. Twitch that in there.
I had no money at all.
No money.
When I was living with Fat James. And I remember coming off the road with Paulie. One time I bought the Rockies. There was five Rockies. I bought the five Rocky DVDs. Next time I came off the road, I bought the Rodney Dangerfield. They did a collection of those, and it was all the specials.
It is. It was comedy, and I'm sorry I haven't spoken about this earlier. It was comedy 101 for me. Rodney Dangerfield, no respect. Let's try that. Let's try what happened. All right,
young there, comedian special.
There it is.
Where?
Yeah, look for Rodney Young Comedian Special. Sorry about that, guys. You really, really, if you have not seen
there
this,
you go.
Try an 1884. Oh,
Nelson!
Shit! Have you seen Bob Nelson, Lee?
No.
Oh, he's so
tap
good.
Him. Tap him, Bob.
Where?
Right on top. Right at the top one. That's Bob Nelson with the fucking the boxing gear on. You really never seen this?
Jeff, what?
All
Jeff,
right, put
what?
This on, Lee, for the people at home.
Go here, sir. If you've ever wanted to be a professional boxer... or just look like one. Come on down to Jiffy Jeff's gym in New York City.
You never saw this, Lee?
No.
I'm gonna shoot you in the fucking head too.
No, wait, no, you showed me part of it.
Here's the proprietor of Jiffy Jeff's gym, Jiffy Jeff himself, to give you a few free pointers on how to become a professional fighter.
You never saw this, Lee?
No, you showed me this.
Oh, am I on? Am I on camera? Hello. 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 Welcome to Jiffy Jeff's gym. My name is Jeff. I own the gym, and I'm here to give you a few free tips to on the professional fighter. Become a professional fighter. How to become a professional fighter. First of all, let me start off right off the bat. There's a lot of training every day. Training. But a lot of training. As a matter of fact, some of the guys take the train from their homes into the day, into the city, every day into the city, which is a lot of training itself as well. So you have to train. Get a monthly ticket if you take the train. I have a monthly ticket. I don't take the train, but it's such a fucking bargain. I bought one anyway, you know? Okay, Training, training, that's one. Now also, you need U, V, elemental P, Q, you need a nickel. You need a nickel? I can't get in my pockets. You need a nickel. Nickel. Necklace. Necklace. Nicholas. Oh, you need a nickname. Yeah, that's it. If you want to become a fighter. If you want to become a fighter, you need a good nickname. Okay, Jerry Cootie. You ever hear Jerry Cootie? He's got a good nickname. They call him gentleman. Start your engines! They call him gentleman. And do you know why? You know why they call him gentleman? You know why? I have no fucking idea why. That's a good nickname. And then there's Marvelous. That is Marvelous Marvin Hagler. You know why they call him Marvelous? Because he looks good. That's what they call him that. I have a nickname. They call me Jeff. Jeff. What?
That's very nice. That's
I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody calling me. Anyway, they call me Jeff. Jeff. What? You're probably looking at me saying, who the hell are you to tell me about the fight game? Well, let me tell you right now. I've had alto training. I've had alto. No, a lot of training. I'm sorry. I spelt it wrong. Alto, a lot. Okay, I fucked up. But anyway, I have had a lot of training. I was a professional fighter at one time. I had what? What the fuck do you want? Oh, I'm talking to you, right? Believe me, I had six professional fights, of which I lost 11. Funny. Fucking story. You want to hear a story? I'll tell you something. I was fighting with Marvin. I was sparring. You ever spar with somebody, sparring match? They pay you very well. $5 a shot. Every time they hit you, boom, $5, you know? So if you get hit 10 times, what is that, $35? Anyway, that's what happened. So I was sparring with this guy. I was sparring with Marvin Hagler. One of those fucking guys. It doesn't matter. They fight the same way.
I forgot
Marvin
he cursed.
Was a lefty, was a righty, was a southpaw, was a I don't know. Anyway, I'm in the ring with this guy. Answer the fucking phone, will you? Come on. Anyway, I'm in the ring with Hagler, right? And he's hitting me. I'm counting my money, $5. Now, good payday, $5. Now, all of a sudden, he stops hitting me. I'm fighting with the guy, all of a sudden he stops hitting me. I'm in the corner like this, coming up like that, you know? I can't see him, so after about 30 seconds, I'm thinking one of two things. Either he went home, or he ran out of money. I don't know which. You know,
that's
I'm
Mitch
standing,
Hedberg.
So what do I do?
That's a Mitch Hedberg
like
joke,
that.
Right?
Yeah,
there he is.
That's
the
type
right
of joke that Mitch
this.
Would write. This is brilliant, guys.
Physical, well written.
You know, I'm sorry I didn't talk about this for other people who want to do stand up and start. Let's see what else they got on there.
Okay.
They got who else on? Do they have? Look for.
What do you want to see?
Oh, shit, look for Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, he kills it.
Oh, he fucking kills it.
Kills it.
He follows Bill Hicks. Just scroll that down.
Right there.
What? You want to do Dice Clay?
Yeah. He fucking kills this shit.
This is what made
shit.
Him a star.
You never saw this, Lee?
No, you showed me this.
This whole tape?
No, I don't think we watched the whole thing.
This next gentleman comes from Brooklyn, okay?
I show you Bill Hicks?
Yeah.
And I guess the best way to describe him is to say he's the typical boy next door. Say hello to Andrew Dice Clay, okay?
Who's the gay dude that was cool at the store? I loved him. He always showed up with young boys. He opens up the show. He opens one of these up because there's two of them.
Yeah, there are two of them.
Guys, I'm sorry. Go on Amazon and look for Rodney's Young Comedian Special if you want to know Comedy 101, because you got 10 of the best comics of all time to learn from Lenny Clark to fucking Kenison at the end.
Yep.
And you know Hicks how to follow this fucking animal.
Yep.
And he does it great. And he fucking follows him great. This is just Comedy 101, guys.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet. Eating. Occurred some way. Long came a Spidey, sat down beside him, said, hey, what's in the bowl, bitch?
It's still funny.
It's tremendous. Guys, this is...
I want to cry.
Jack and Joe went up the hill, both with a buck and a quarter. Joe came down with 250. Yeah. Little boy Blue. He needed the money. Was an old lady lived in a shoe. She had so many kids, her uterus fell out.
Listen to that laughter, guys.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. Trim that pussy, it's so damn hairy. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her old dog a bone. She bent over. Rover took over. She got a bone of her own.
38 years ago, this was, guys. Right?
Yeah, 28 fucking years, guys.
Wow. Like I said, if you really get a chance, you should watch this if you're into stand-up. And what did you watch to get you into stand-up?
This stuff. I remember watching this live. I remember me and my brothers. It was in my parents' bedroom. For whatever reason, I guess it came on late at night. And we're all on the floor watching it. Everybody in the room together, crippled with laughter. I remember Dice. I remember Kinison coming out and doing the sand bit.
That's when, why you eating, why you here.
Yep.
All that shit.
This is sand. Yeah.
Nothing grows here. It's a fucking desert.
Yep. I remember seeing Eddie Murphy. I remember my parents going to see Pryor when I was three. And I don't know why, but I remember I wanted to go see him. I grew up in one of those houses where... Like, you know, some families are like the sports family where they know everything about sports and the kids are all athletic and the dads. And then there's other families where they're nerds or there's other family. My family was the comedy family. You could come over, watch rated R movies when I was nine. My parents didn't care. I was watching Eddie Murphy, Carlin. I remember seeing the Dice and then the special Dice Man comments after that.
Oh, my God. I remember being in the halfway house, watching that in the fucking halfway house, making them watch that for New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And I got at that point, I knew. I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to do what he's doing because he's saying half the shit I'm thinking.
Yes.
You know, plant it in your ass and all that shit. He's saying half the things I'm fucking thinking anyway. So I want to give this a shot. You know, Dice really fucking was the one that pushed me over the ledge.
Yeah.
I liked Rodney. I liked Richard Pryor. But Dice was the one that said, wait. You know, when I watch Richard Pryor, I go, maybe I could do that. But when I watch Dice was the convincing thing.
Yes.
Because my thoughts were like that. You know, when people, you know, what do you, just so many things that my, when I'm walking, and I was telling people on stage the other night, your first reaction is your real reaction.
Yes.
When you guys saw a picture of Caitlin last week and you said in your heart, Jesus Christ fucking almighty, that's your first reaction.
Yeah.
Then your mind gets that reaction and makes it, society forms it. So you have an answer. So when you go to Starbucks, you don't offend your friends and you don't offend your coworkers.
Right.
That's the problem with society today. Everybody can't offend and we can't say what's really on our mind. But your first reaction is, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And what the fuck? There's so many things like that that happen in today's society that we're not really fucking thinking about. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? You know, it even applies to the medical marijuana business. I just went to Denver, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know, I like this. This is great, blah, 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 but what the fuck is this? This is...
Yeah.
This cannot be. This cannot be happening in my fucking life. What are you guys laughing about?
Did you clean the microphone?
I don't know. There was a piece of fucking something on there, like lint. I was just
cleaning. No, I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at your reaction, like... This is too good to be true.
No. Listen, I look at it from both perspectives. When I look at things like that, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a pot smoker. I've smoked pot for fucking 30-something fucking years. Am I proud? No, I'm not proud of it.
Right.
But there's one part of that that I see it weakening the moral fight. I'm not going to lie to you.
Interesting.
You know, this thing with Caitlin, that, okay, he had female feelings. I'm going to go on the ledge here. He had female feelings, and whatever he had, he knew he was a female. I watched the whatever Diane Sawyer, and it was very touching, and I cried myself. I get in the way of what he's doing.
Yes.
I don't get the applaud for this. I don't get the, I think it's a fake applaud. You know, again, I'm going to go on the limb here. Two guys getting married. Listen, I got a gay cousin. I have fucking tons of friends that are gay, and I break their balls. I call them faggot. I say it on stage, but I have no hatred for gays or nothing like that. Right. But I got to tell you something. Two guys walking down the street fucking married, it doesn't bother me. It does not bother me. But I have to ask you, how is Lee and his wife, that they're attorneys and they're straight-laced people? Lee wouldn't curse if he didn't hang out with me. Lee wouldn't do half the fucking things. How would him and Paula, what would they talk about? How would they tell their son? They're going to have a nice son or a nice daughter.
Yeah.
They're not going to curse. They're not going to drink in the house. They're two nice white fucking people. Yeah. How do you explain to your son at five why Jim and fucking Pat are swapping spit down the fucking block? Because you're going to see it. You're going to fucking see it. Your daughter, who is six, is going to go, Daddy, you told me mommy and daddy.
That's already happening in the schools.
It's happening. So I'm not mad at it, but this is something that America would have said, hey, man, what the fuck is going on here? There's pro and con to it. I understand you want a man and you want to make your fucking statement, but I still got to fucking tell people. I still got to talk to six-year-olds that can't comprehend that type of shit.
Yeah.
I always, listen, I saw Juan shoot whatever at eight. I'm telling you right here, guys. Did it affect me in a lot of ways? I do not know. If you talk to psychiatrists, it did affect me somewhere. You know, did it give me PTSD? I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
But this morning's episode also on The Sopranos, very interesting. I got up early this morning. We're up to season 3.
Wow.
Just from, we haven't watched it in 5 or 6 years. Okay?
It's great when you haven't seen it in a while.
That's what I did. I go, let me turn these on. Wow. And that episode also is when Anthony figures out why he started fainting. When he goes to Satrial's, and they take Satriali in the back and they cut his finger off. Okay? They cut his finger off. He's fine. He gets in the car. He goes home. The guy who plays his father.
Great.
It's fucking great. Have you seen him yet?
No, I'm only in season 1.
He was in Carlito's Way. He's the brunette that chases Carlito to the train at the end. Get him. He's the son. He's the son. He's what's-his-name's son.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them. Him and the guy who plays Young Junior are in Carlito's Way.
That was a good movie. I got to go back and
watch that. Carlito's Way is a very fucking good movie, but what do you call that? What were we talking about?
Sopranos. How childhood incident affected him as a grown-up.
So he went to Satrial's. The reason why they own Satrial's is because Satrial killed himself. It's a great, interesting story, the Satrial's. He killed himself because he owed bookie money. He lost a shot.
Mm.
To gambling, and then that's why the Sopranos took it over. Tony took it over. He owns the whatever. But then he goes home, and that's when his father calls him over and says, come here. Most guys would have ran away like a little girl. You handled it. Nothing happened to you. I'm proud of you. But remember, don't go get older and gamble. He breaks it down for him. He goes, I know you like Mrs. Satrial, and he's a good man.
Mm.
But he has a very bad problem to gamble. He doesn't honor his bets, and a man honors his debts. And he breaks it down. I mean, you just cut off some guy's fucking finger. You're breaking it down for your kid. Mm. And poor young Tony's like, yeah, whatever. Then they go in the kitchen and he cut the roast.
Yeah.
And as he's cutting the roast, that's the first time he fainted and he got 4 stitches. You know, so, and then Dr. Melfi tells him how it affected him, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I just don't know how that type
how
of
it
shit
did affect you. Yeah,
you know how it's going to affect a 7-year-old walking down the street and saying, "I just saw two guys," and this might not happen in their lifetime. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Maybe I'm over, whatever. But these are little topics that, in my world, I gotta say to me. And I'm telling you, even the fucking marijuana, all this free marijuana shit, was not something I was into. This legalizing marijuana, it's not something I was into. I appreciate the money it's making and all this.
Yeah.
And I smoked dope with 3 hands. But I didn't like what it would do to the moral fabric. I didn't like it.
Interesting.
I didn't like it. There's a lot of things that are against moral fabric, that are against what we believe. Yeah, I went to prison, I fucked up, and I paid my debts.
Right.
And I was against my own moral fabric.
Okay, see, you're hitting on a huge topic that I don't talk often about, but the problem is not messing up isn't a problem. We're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. But at least you know when you make a mistake. our moral compass in this country is so gone.
Gone. People do not know when they're being rude. People do not know when they're making mistakes. People do not care. I see how
it
people
has
park.
To change.
I went to jiu-jitsu this morning.
Selfishness.
22 people it's fucking parking 8 inches, 9 feet from the other guy.
I think that should be a ticket. I would pay that.
I would vote for that to be a ticket. People would just scumbags. In fact,
nobody's getting raised. That's the problem. You broke down the family. Financial pressures made everybody has to go out and work. Nobody's raising the kids. We praise the almighty dollar. Everybody's materialistic. Everybody's selfish. You don't know your neighbors. There are no more but it's going to come back.
Vegas is my
family's
biggest paycheck.
Going to come back.
And I actually thought how I was going to get out of Sunday. That's what Sundays mean to me.
Yes.
That's what Sundays mean to me, guys, the whole thing. I don't want to break my moral fabric. Mm-hmm. I was raised on Sundays, and after 5 o'clock, you didn't do dick. You ate dinner with your family. You watched Mutual of Omaha.
Yeah.
And you watched entertainment, Disney. Disney.
Yep.
And you went to bed at 10 and you prepared for fucking Monday
morning. It's necessary.
That's what's necessary. That's what my Sundays mean to me. Yeah, I could work every Sunday and make an extra $10,000, $12,000, $20,000 a year, and that's for my family. But what if me and my wife break up?
Right.
What if me and Mercy and the wife, and I appreciate Sunday dinner. It's big
necessary.
To me. It's big to
you
me.
You need time off.
And
you
I
need
tell
to
comics
reset.
All the time. I remember now Rogan don't work Sundays. See if you could fucking give Rogan a Sunday.
Yeah.
Because he understands.
He's got family.
You get all, you know, people say to me after shows, Joe, you want to smoke? Joe, you want, I don't want to do dick on Saturday. Once Saturday night's over with, listen, I don't, Lee, tell these dummies. There ain't nothing on my agenda but getting back. I don't look at the baby's picture all day Thursday and all day Friday. I refuse to look at the baby. When my wife come into my mind, I don't think about it. I know that what I'm doing is for them.
Right.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it gives me 4 days a week with them. I go swimming with my
boy. Great.
Tomorrow I have a big day. But at 3 o'clock, I don't give a fuck. Unless you're paying me, I'm at the YMCA working out because they show up at 5 to swim.
That's great.
So I'll go tomorrow at 4 to the Y and work out for an hour and a half. By the time they get there, I'll swim with her. My wife says, because we're going to go on a date Thursday night. And my wife said, well, I'll come back and cook you. And I go, no. We have a thing that we do on Thursdays and Tuesdays, and that's we eat in during the week, but after swimming on Tuesdays and Thursdays, what's it cost us? We go to the Habit, make a family.
That's
I
great.
Get the salad. She gets the cheeseburger. She gets the baby cheeseburger.
Oh, that's
it
so
costs
cute.
$24 fucking dollars, and we get the vanilla cone there.
Awesome.
Because we give her ice cream, and then Tuesdays we take her to Jersey Mike's after swimming. She gets the half of, she likes the Philly cheesesteak on white with chips,
that's
a cookie.
Awesome.
You guys didn't know that? This is what
oh
I do on
Tuesday.
Oh, my
God, that's
Mercy
awesome.
Gets the steak and cheese?
Oh, Macy gets the steak and cheese, and she's not on the carbs. She opens it up and eats the bread first, and then eats the cheese, then the inside of the white bread.
Oh, that's so cute.
Then we give her a cookie, we give her a bag of chips, and we give her milk. So she drinks that, and then we take it to the custard store next door, and I get her a gizmo. Whatever the flavor is, that's a light yogurt, light custard with the Italian ice. And I mix it for
is
her.
Is that Rita's?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we perfect. Sit there, right there in the four, like a family. And we fucking do that.
It's necessary.
And like last week, Lee and I had to do a podcast at 8 on Thursday. And at 7, I go, ladies, I have to take you home now. And they know. They go home, but we spent that time. You know, before I knocked my wife up on Tuesday nights, Wynn plays the show was date night in my house.
Yeah.
Because I can't do it Thursday because I'm off Thursday.
Right.
So there's no date. So one night a week, you pick. And we would go to yoga together. And then we'd go eat somewhere.
That's great.
Sweaty, we'd go eat somewhere. And we'd be home by 9:30. And then we'd watch, I'd smoke a joint, wash my pussy, and watch Sons of Anarchy on DVD.
Perfect.
But I know that, like I told on Nari's podcast, I know how to ruin a marriage. You want to ruin a marriage? Come see me. I'll tell you all the things. Go play softball with your fucking moron buddies. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go play golf with your jerk-off friends on Saturday and Sunday and spend $200 fucking playing chasing the ball with your jerk-off buddies. Oh, you want to go to Vegas because it's your friend's birthday and you don't get out too much. Yeah, go to Vegas with your 6 loser fucking friends. Whatever.
Right.
These are all the things that once you walk down the aisle, it's all over.
Yeah.
Because every time you do that, it's giving her an opportunity to go, where's his fucking head at?
Yeah.
Maybe I should suck the neighbor's dick. He's home next door doing nothing. He's a great guy. He's got class. He's got style. My husband's in Vegas with a bunch of jerk-offs jumping up and down. These, you know, when I see guys playing softball on Sunday, dog, I went 4 for 4. When are you going to play softball? Well, you're playing softball, your wife's sucking somebody else's dick. So go play softball with your little faggot fucking friends. Fucking softball. You're 30 years old.
You
what fucking softball? You're 30 fucking years old. What softball? What softball are you talking about? What dart league are you? Take a dart and throw it at your fucking dick. Your wife is either she's sucking or she's going to suck somebody else's dick.
She's thinking about it.
She's thinking about it because you're out with your fucking idiot friends. And she's got to think of the loyalty of where the fuck you stand.
Yeah.
And once she starts going out with her dumb friends, that's how you blow a fucking marriage.
Yeah, because then they're getting hurt.
Yeah, you don't want to get no fucking doubts in the marriage. I did all these things. Now, how do you keep it together? It's a Sunday dinner. It's those little things. Last Thursday, her and I, we fucking... And listen, I hate going to the movies in the daytime.
Yeah.
But I had to go. That 2 hours saves a marriage.
Yeah.
Fuck your dumb friends and a barbecue and a fucking football. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit.
Family
I never did.
Time.
When it comes to your wife, you have to give them the attention they deserve or it's going to go down the tubes.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear about, oh, me and Lee went to, with your stupid fucking softball shirt on. Yeah. You're a grown fucking man. You want to play softball? You should have played softball and done the fucking thing when you were 14, when your father told you to go play catch. Now you want to be a fucking all-star baseball. Oh, yeah, I'm on the semi. What fuck? What are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? I want to be around. Look, Tony Bennett suing this motherfucker. It's Monday, cocksuckers. June 8th, we're dropping it here. Steve Simone in the house. Lee, pick it up a little bit. You're fucking slipping tonight. You know what I'm saying?
You're slipping.
Fucking guy, eat a taffy and a mushroom and look at him. He's falling apart on me. Ready for another star?
No.
A cap?
No. I wanna be around. Crazy.
To pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart. As I, somebody twice as smart.
Take your fucking Jewy fingers off that fucking thing, all right? Them little fucking Pontius Pilate fingers. Cocksuckers.
The one thing was in the system, goddamn.
Put on the beginning of the next song of I Left My Heart in San Francisco. I want to. I love the beginning of that song. It's fucking beautiful.
Tony Bennett's a genius.
The loneliness of Paris. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me, you motherfuckers? That's why this guy's still rocking. I bet Lady Gaga looks at him and says, drop this knowledge that you have.
Oh, sure.
You were dropping songs in 55. And that's when this came out. Wow. I Left My Heart in San Francisco. What was the release on that?
I just got to play. Hold on 1 second.
Where's the volume here? What is this, for deaf people?
Jokes.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the
right here. He just lights me up right here, dog, every time.
I left my heart.
God damn.
In San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me.
Fucking beautiful. Fucking beautiful. I love all that shit. That's real fucking brilliant. Some guy fucking lip syncing. Fuck Britney.
Opening up his soul. There's a vulnerability to that era of music that people are afraid to express anymore, and that's why it's all garbage. Got to open it up. You got to open up your soul.
This morning I almost had a nervous breakdown, guys. I put on T for One. Led Zeppelin.
Ah, okay.
Just put it on. I was right. Then I remembered I had to change the glasses for the spirits. On Mondays, I always put glasses out for you. My mom, my dad, my godmother. I say prayers for everybody who's dead. Rago, Anthony Bazan, all of them. And I took a shower. And when I came out of the shower, I could hear the beginnings of Stairway to Heaven. And guys, I had to hold myself up. I was like, I had to sit. My wife's like, what's the matter? I made believe I was spraying my nose because I was just overwhelmed. The beginning of that fucking jam, and I was thinking of Anthony. When we buried Anthony, that was the big fucking song. Oh, my God. I was like, God damn, this motherfucker's going to send me a message today. And he did. He got me an audition.
Wow. Amazing.
Fuck yeah.
Isn't it amazing how well connected everything is? It's beautiful.
That motherfucker got me a fucking audition, that little spirit of fucking Pepper Nose. Let me read out some goddamn shout outs here. My main man, Matthew Oliveris, whatever your name is. Oliveris, yeah. Jason Skinner, Sarah Hunt, you dirty bitch. Derek. Danielle, happy birthday on your 18th birthday, you little fucking crazy fuck. Joe Kenyon holding it down in New Jersey. Cocaine Tamales, you bad motherfucker. Jonathan Sirloin, McLordstein over there on Facebook. And my man Rob J244 sent me the best fucking picture of the day. He's a little white kid. He sent me a picture of
Dunkin' Donuts.
Something, right? With some shitty donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts now offers Chips Ahoy and Oreo flavored iced coffee.
Iced coffee. And he's like, these fucking Gentiles. You gotta see this kid. I love it. It was a picture of the day. So where is this Dunkin' Donuts? They opened in the Valley, cuz.
They didn't open one in the Valley, did
yes,
they?
Yes, they did.
Uh-oh.
I'm yes, behind. They did.
Go. Hit it. Let's see where. Doesn't matter, cuz Yum Yum. Those Mexicans at Yum Yum. Shit. Those motherfucking Dunkin' Donut people, they'll rat those little immigrants out and shit. There'll be no more Yum Yum Donuts. There'll be a white guy named Jim making donuts.
Hello.
That tastes like fucking asshole. Those Mexicans, they throw everything in them donuts. Chili Verdes over at Yum Yum. Me and Lee and his wife went to fucking Yum Yum. Where, Lee?
Encino.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Lee, you're a fucking mutt. I'm telling you. I go out of town, and you're supposed to stay on top of this. But you're home taking care of Paula. The first day grand opening was donut day. I was out of town. And Lee, you were fucking dicking around. You should have been up there online. Paul, T. Went, the guy that was a guest on the podcast.
Yeah.
Bunch of people were up there getting free fucking donuts.
I can't wait.
Yeah, so we might have to make a run to donut and Italian sandwiches. Get some sausage sandwiches. How far from the fucking thing? Figure it out, Lee. God damn it. Now you're pissing me off.
Domingos is at Ventura and White Oak.
Hold on. Let me.
You're supposed to know this shit, Lee. I thought you were going to call me.
I can't look for donuts anymore.
I thought you were
going to take my Google alert for donuts off.
You did?
No, but like, I can't go to donuts anymore.
I just remember that they put a Dunkin' Donut and Lee didn't say shit to me because he's fucking slipping. I'm telling you. I've been telling you people for weeks he's slipping and you don't believe me. Not about the podcast. He's slipping in life.
All right. So wait, this is at Ventura and...
He's really figured it out. That's why I love this
Balboa. So where's...
It's like a mile away.
What is it called? Domingos?
Yeah, which is just do a Ventura and White Oak.
Oh, shit.
It's right around the corner, I think.
Yeah, the only fucking good donut at Dunkin' Donuts I still go in there to eat is the apple and spice. Yum Yum is too fucking strong.
Oh, dude, it's so close.
Yum Yum on how? What's gross?
No, I said it's so close. It's a 0.9.
We're going to do a killing. Let's go to Domingo's, get a sausage, then take the car up, get a little coffee. That black Brazilian they got, the dark Brazilian.
Oh, so good.
That is worse than meth. That's what Georgie drinks with like three fucking packs of fucking Marlboro Reds and shit. The loneliness of Paris.
I can't, but this is the best news ever.
Yeah, nobody fucking knew. It was the grand. When was National Donut Day?
2 days ago. I didn't eat Chicago.
Donut. I didn't eat nothing. But, Yum Yum
is
way
fucked fucking up day.
We went to Mealy.
Oh, my God, that's so fun.
Fucked up one night at the Ice House. And they're like, she's in the back. I'm doing 90. They couldn't figure out what my rush was. And I hit the left on Magnolia, and they're like, "Why are you taking it?"
I thought you missed the turn.
They didn't even fucking know. And I pulled into Yum Yum's. You should all like the both of them went like I was taking them to a horror movie. And it's like dark, and there's lights in there. Like when you walk into Yum Yum Donuts, if you're a little high, tell me it doesn't seem like the fucking Twilight Zone because there's 1,000 lights.
Even then, when there's a cop there, it's terrifying.
Who was we were?
We were.
We got to start an open mic at Yum Yum's on Monday nights at 10. After we get out of here. What do you think, Lee? The church opened my... Just don't even tell Yum Yum Donuts. Because you can't... You don't need a microphone. You don't need no fucking
just
microphone.
Just don't even tell them. What are you going to do? Just start talking?
Yeah. Just get in the corner and pull some tables together and say, we're doing a comedy show.
I love donuts.
If you guys bought like a couple dozen donuts, they'd probably let you.
Listen, they wouldn't give a Frenchman's fuck even if you bought a dozen. You ever go in there and buy a dozen? They always give you like 19.
Free. Yeah,
those Mexicans don't fuck around. They're nice Yum Yum Donuts. Guys, if you live in the Valley, what is it? Magnolia and Colfax.
Yeah. Oh, but they're everywhere.
Across from a... No, not as good as that one. That's a good one.
Go to
that Oxnard one.
It's by the high school.
Yeah. Go to the Oxnard one.
That Oxnard one is kind of bad, yeah.
You had it too?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That one right there by the high school, they don't fuck around. And the place next to it ain't bad either, guys. That little cheesesteak place.
The burger place,
that
yeah.
fucking place ain't bad
there. I always
there.
Wanted to try that place.
Me and my wife used to walk around the neighborhood. We moved in. We walked in there one day and we got the burger. It wasn't bad. It was like, and they have a special, like $5.99.
I don't know. Sometimes when I get high, I like go on Yelp and I search like cheeseburgers and stuff. So I just saw it on Yelp one night.
And what they say about it.
Listen, it's decent.
Yeah, it's not bad. But it's a high school one. They got to be good. Unless the kids get malaria and everybody pukes and shit. So. Look at Lee's fucked up.
He's so adorable.
You want another star?
No. It's, some other people have to do that.
What's that?
Go on Yelp when they're high and just like look at good
look
food.
Look for food. Just look for Yelp.
Hell yeah, when you're on the
That's
diet.
What you do in the mornings, cocksucker. You should be out getting sun, you fuck. You're like a vampire Jew. There's no Jews that are vampires. You're the only fucking one. Look at you.
Speaking of food, you know there's a Grimaldi's down in by the airport?
I heard something like that.
And I had heard that rumor, and I was like, is that right?
Because I always get Grimaldi's confused with the other one from Chicago, so I just thought they were wrong. What's the one you went to with Paul with the peppers and the fucking...
Portillo's.
Portillo's. So I just thought that they were saying the wrong word.
Nope. There's a Portillo's in Orange, and there's a Grimaldi's really- down in like Carmosa Beach or something. Redondo, Torrance, somewhere down there, South Bay.
I had never had like the Italian beef sandwich before.
How fucking was it, Lee? I told
you. Oh, it just melts.
And if you get the Italian beef with the sausage in the middle and dip that too.
You put sausage in the sandwich?
That's how they do it, half and half.
Oh, that's a fucking heart
yeah,
attack.
That's, yeah, dog, when you put that in my fort, what's the name of it? MyFitnessTracker.com.
MyFitnessTracker.com.
The fat
up.
Content. Goes, I remember. Fuck you.
One of my favorite Uncle Joey quotes is you looked at me and you go, if we're going to get fat, we're going to get fat off the good stuff. And I think about that all the time.
I've been telling Lee for 20 years. He don't want to believe me. He wants to go eat shit food and then get pissed off. And I tell him it's not worth putting in your body.
Right. I'll eat something healthy.
Exercise and garbage.
Right.
Like, I stopped eating Chinese. I had to stop. It was an insult to my fucking moral fiber.
Yeah.
It was a fucking insult. Every time I walked in there, the egg rolls shot.
They don't know how to do it.
No, and they're nice people. Oh, that green apple. They're the nicest people in the world. The filet mignon, the Chinese-style filet mignon, is to die for. But I had to stop fucking going in there. That's what's killed. I lost 23 pounds because I stopped eating garbage anymore.
Yeah.
I had to stop. I had to fucking stop eating all those red. You know, it's just the to-go food is terrible. It'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, and you know, in this city, I think it's not good. So if it doesn't taste good on top of it, I'm like, forget it.
Oh, my God. Denver, I went to this place called Sam's.
Did you have the chili relleno's?
Tell Lee about this motherfucker.
Oh, my that's God.
That's the first motherfucker I called because it said Divers, Drives, and...
Divers, Drive-ins, and Dives. And it's right across from the hotel. And right I went. I ate every God. Meal there.
Lee, I was there for two weeks. I was there for 3 days, and I ate 8 meals in 3 days.
Oh.
I got up at 5 the one morning just to catch the breakfast before radio. Lee, you open up with a cup of green chili, because that's what I did, a cup of green chili with one tortilla. They're like 1,000 fucking grams of carbohydrates, tortillas.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah, I didn't know. I would take 3 of them and dip them in there, and I went up to my room, put it in fucking whatever, and I'm like, oh.
What have I done?
I'm over the fucking carb limit. So for dinner, I was going, I was getting a 6-ounce sirloin, and I would eat half a baked potato and the mixed vegetables, and I wouldn't eat the bun, the fucking butter on the bun. Delicious. I ate a 6-ounce sirloin all fucking 3 nights at Sam's.
That's good.
I had breakfast all 3 mornings at Sam's with a cup of green chili. I wouldn't eat the potatoes. I only eat 1 piece of wheat bread with the 2 eggs.
That's beautiful.
It was the bacon was fucking delicious. Lee, what did we spend for food? Tell Lee. Breakfast, ready? The number 4.
Ready.
That's what that is. 2 eggs, home fries, 2 pieces of toast, and coffee. Number 4 is $4.49. You know what my breakfast was every day except Saturday? It was $13. It was $9.80 every day. And that was for a cup of green chili, 2 eggs, 4 strips of fucking country bacon.
Real deal.
A pile of potatoes, great wheat bread when they fucking put the wet butter on it, and it soaks into your bread, so by the time you get it, the fucking yolk just stays on that bread. Are you fucking kidding me? I was going in there for dinner, and people were still having breakfast. Tell Lee about the motherfucking smothered burrito, what it looks like. I kept dreaming about getting the ground beef.
He called me, said, I'm scared to get it.
Dog, I can't. I work hard, dog. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I got to get under 300, and then we could gamble. But for right now, I can't. It's tough. Every pound,
yeah.
You work for every mile at 50. I work for every fucking, it's like football, the longest yard. You work for every fucking yard. I'm working for every fucking yard.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's times I had a milkshake with Lee. We split a cheesecake. I gained 4 fucking pounds in Vegas.
Yeah, I just got off the road. I was eating garbage, and I had a pair of jeans, and I went, son of a bitch. They just didn't fit right last night. I look like sausage.
I get fat when I eat water. When I drink water now, I gain a fucking pound. So it's just you got to watch. You know, for me, for you guys, we're trying to that fucking burrito there is just phenomenal looking. The green chili, the cup was 258 calories, not too many carbs.
That's so healthy for you. Oh my God. It's all protein and fiber and all delicious stuff.
Your fucking sinuses.
The green chili there. I'm more of like out here in California. I do the red sauce. In Denver, the green is amazing.
No, it's not like the
different.
Yet.
Yeah, it's a different thing. Listen,
New Mexico, Colorado, and I think Tucson cook that same. Then you get to Texas, and it's called Tex-Mex.
Oh, it's so good.
So there's three or four different styles of Mexican cooking and shit like that.
So good.
This is a great podcast today. I enjoyed the topics we spoke about. And
so happy
just,
to be
just
here.
You being here on a Monday night is always great. I was trying to get you 3 weeks ago. I had somebody scheduled for this afternoon. I really like the guy. Mm-hmm. But my Monday nights have to be a comic. I want them to have a fucking morning to go, wow, that was a great podcast. Lee was high. Thursday, we'll do a thing about Sistema. He's a great guy. Or I'm going to have the guy that just, this kid, friend of mine, Eric Medina. He used to date a friend of mine, Bonnie, and he opened up a you going to jiu-jitsu tomorrow night?
If I can with this thing, I guess.
Yeah, you're going. Forget about the eye. Don't even blame the eye. We'll put a patch on you. Make sure you go. He went to jiu-jitsu.
That's great.
I'm very proud of him. He has no idea. Because I tried to explain it to him. I go, Lee, you hang out with me and Steve Simone. You hang out with 240, 50-year-old guys.
Yeah.
And then now he gets to the Agostino once a month.
Yeah.
I go, beside that, you sit in the house with fucking Paula. I go hang out with some 25-year-olds.
Yeah, it's true.
Get off that fucking treadmill that gives you that eye infection all the fucking time because you're touching it. Then you go home and don't wash your fucking little Jew fingers, and you give yourself the unpunctious pilot eye. That's what that is, a punctious. Lee, it's gotten bigger since you've been here. So you got to go call Paul and tell her you're coming over to put the pepper on your fucking eye. He went 2 weeks ago when it first happened.
And when it was going away, I put the medicine in.
And the medicine never fucking did Bugatti for you. And his mother-in-law said, I'll put a pepper in your eye, the Mexican stuff, the remedies, and he wouldn't do it. He was scared of the pepper.
That's and it worked.
That shit works. No, it doesn't. He didn't do it. I got mad at him. I go, that's your mother-in-law. She's not going
to
do it.
So when in doubt, listen to an older woman. Yeah, they know everything.
She loves you.
Yeah.
She's not going to burn your eye. She loves you. Call Paula. Tell her you're headed over there tonight. You'll watch by tell her you're going to stop and get Yum Yum Donuts for them.
I told her I was going to do it tomorrow.
And you're going to get Platanitos. You can't do it tomorrow. You got to do it tonight, Lee. Tomorrow you're going to wake up with, you're going to
be shut. You're going to look like Rocky.
Yeah. You're doing something with your eye. You're looking good, Jiu-Jitsu is good for you. Even if you don't like it, it's something differently. You got to go mingle with kids your fucking age. You're going to be the oldest fucking 26-year-old ever. You want to be the oldest 26-year-old? Shit. That's why I give you the mushrooms and shit to loosen you up. If not, he'd be all wired, sopranoed up, shooting people, calling niggas. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? That's why I love this fucking kid. I love him with all my heart, but look at him. We're going to go to Boston, but the plane tickets are $7.50 base. Fucking plane tickets. They're fucking America, the airlines. Fucking America. This is what I don't understand no more. What do you got going on? Talk to me. What's the next move for you? Did the great CD. You're doing this stuff for Gabriel. Like I told you, you're pointed in the right direction. I know that you get frustrated.
Yeah.
You get frustrated every 90 days. You want to go home and work in your brother's dental clinic and make fucking braces for 13-year-olds and shit. But you're invested now.
Yeah.
You can't go nowhere. It's only going to get better. That's what these young comics.
You told me, get the CD. You helped me a lot because I used to be a prisoner of perfection, I call it. If it wasn't perfect, I was because it was fear. It's a form of fear.
It's fear.
And you go, if it's not perfect, I don't want to do anything.
I'm not going to jiu-jitsu until I get in shape. That's what jiu-jitsu is. Go to jiu-jitsu. You get in shape. Nobody's going to laugh at you.
Right.
You're going to do great. It's like anything else. Everybody's always preparing for the thing. Just go out and live.
So then I put live. As soon as the CD came out, now I'm looking. I'm going, wait, I'm making a living. I don't know how it's coming in. It's taught me how to live. I don't live in the future anymore. But I go, you know what? The phone rings. I get a gig, and it works out. So that's it. I've been busy, been around the world twice.
You don't need to question nothing. No. All you need to do is get up every Monday and keep doing what you're doing. I got this the other day, and I really wanted to talk to people about this. And it sounds kind of stupid and gay, but let's just discuss this real quick. I got this off of Google, and it was 16 things that people do on a Monday, successful things that people do on a Monday. I've been doing 11 of them.
Just because naturally, me and Lee have always discussed this. That's great.
Get up early. That's why I don't want to fucking fly. There's no comedy club that's worth for me to fly Monday. Monday, you have to be ready.
Ready to go.
Not, you know, and that's why I tell Lee again. Lee and I got into it about a year ago. I go, Lee, you have to be at work Monday. You got to fly back Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't give a fuck. You got to fly back Saturday. Yep. That's it. Get rid of your guests.
You need that day to bounce back.
One day to bounce back. You cannot get in at 11 and do a job at 8 in the fucking morning. You cannot. It's a fucking shitty job. It's anybody. It's not just, it's anybody. You got to get up early. I don't give a fuck what they tell you. You get back, you have to take a vacation from the fucking vacation.
Absolutely.
All right? Exercise on a Monday. This is the one I have over. Healthy breakfast. You know, that Monday, that starts your week. You know, work, you got to be there at 8. I don't have to be there till 8. There's going to be traffic. Then get there. Arrive early. Whatever you got to do, make it a point. Monday. Just Monday.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what you do Tuesday. You know, greet the team. Good morning. Everybody you talk to, when you wake up in the morning, if you don't say I love you in the morning, first fucking thing, it ain't going to work out for you, man.
That's true.
You know, I was thinking about that book, The Warrior. Remember years ago there was a big thing? People were getting involved with some book, the creative, Unleash Your Creative.
Oh, The Warrior Spirit thing. Yeah, I remember that.
The big thing about them is they tell you when you wake up in the morning is to write. Just get up. You don't have to be a comic or a fucking anybody. Because when you get up, what's the first thing you do?
Go to the bathroom.
How bad does it smell, the pee?
Pretty bad.
Okay, now after you have your first cup of coffee, what happens? A bowl of cereal.
Take a shit.
Okay, so if you everything has waste, what about your mind? What about the shit you saw the day before that you dreamt about? Now it's in your mind that you might wake up a little fucked up over. So you know what? If you usually get up at 7:30 because you got to be at work at 8, you're a fucking loser. Get up at 6:45. Get that cup of coffee. And at 7, you sit down and relax and write out what you woke up with. Right, every morning, why do I always wake up with a song in my head every morning? That's a song track. That's a song track of my fucking day.
That's
but when
great.
I wake up in the morning, I'll show you the notebook. What I write, my penmanship's off.
Yeah.
My words are off. My spelling is off. I go from talking about comedy to talking about Lee's
jiu-jitsu. You're just looping, you're cleaning the tubes out,
though. You're cleaning the tubes. 2 pages. Don't get up. Don't fucking get up.
I'm buying a notebook on my way home.
Don't get up. Just look at that thing. It's like getting home. It's like drinking and trying to write jokes, and you wake up the next morning and look at them. It's reverse.
Yeah.
It's your mind's waste in the morning. Just sit there. That's 15 minutes that you're going to be so much fucking better person. Your work, you're going to be you ever write a lot and have to go on stage that night, like when you write your script? You're not writing comedy. You're writing your script.
Yes.
Go on stage and see what happens to you that night. You will bring down the fucking, because you're still writing. It doesn't have to be comedy. You do better when you don't write comedy and get on stage.
Yeah.
But you write something. You write a chapter in your book. You write your bio. Whatever the fuck you write is going to, everything. You know, I remember going to karate once a week. I was 400 pounds. I was snorting blow. And I saw Najir. And I told him, I looked him in the face and I said, I'm really sorry about not going to class. He goes, I go, oh, with my traveling, I made a bunch of excuses.
Yeah.
He goes, if you go once a week, it's going to help you. Once a week. Because everybody knows that if you go once,
you're going to go twice.
Eventually gonna go twice.
Better habits, better decisions.
What I tell Lee about jiu-jitsu, I go, Lee, you're only gonna go on Tuesdays. You're only gonna go on Tuesdays. Until one day you go, you know what, man? I'm sick and tired of not figuring this out. I'm gonna go to day class today. And that's when you just, no, he ain't going nowhere now. Look at him, he's sitting there like a dunce. He's sitting there like one of Jerry's kids, staring out into fucking space, thinking when they're gonna let him out of this cage.
What did you give me before the podcast?
Then you give me your fucking Jamoke. You're lucky I love you. I'd be dialing 911 on you. Where are we going? For donuts tonight?
Sure.
You go for a couple fucking yum yums today?
Always.
All right, so where are you at the next couple weeks? Talk to me.
I'm in town. I'm finally in town.
And where are you at this summer? What clubs are you going to?
June 30th, I'm doing a podcast show down at Nerd Melt on Sunset. Hopefully the special guest will be Roddy Piper.
Okay.
There's a sponsor that's going to do a pizza party. They're like, let's throw a little kid birthday party for grown-ups. Good times. So I was like, you know what? It's going to be a party. I'm going to have the party starter, Darren Carter, open up the show. I'll go out, do like 5 minutes, thank everybody for being there.
What day is this?
T- Tuesday, June 30th. We'll be if there. You're into, oh, that'll be the best.
If there's free pizza, and Lee will definitely be there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's going to be great. And then, so that's, I'm really looking forward to that. And then I'm going to do La Jolla Comedy Store the 10th and the 11th. And then, depending on the plane tickets, I'll probably be at Killiam in Philly the week after that with Steve Byrne. And then Toronto in August. And that's my summer. I have 100 pages of a family-friendly feature comedy that I, God willing, next 3 weeks, I'll have the time to look it over and get it good and send it out and see what happens.
From your eyes, close your eyes for 5 minutes. I want you to think about when we were on the road with, what's his name? What year was that? 2002, maybe? 2003? How broke you and I were.
Oh, God.
The shape I was in. I remember you and Dice trying to get me to the gym. I was about to die. I was pale.
Yeah.
You know, that was a long time ago, Simone.
So I think that first time might have been 2001.
That was a long time ago, Simone. Me, you, Bobby Lee, Jim Norton.
My God.
That was a long time ago. That was even a little before Opie and Anthony.
He wasn't on Opie and Anthony yet.
So no. If you close your eyes and you think about that, this journey is that much better. Just the fact that we're still fucking Goombas.
It's the best. To me, that's everything.
That's everything. Just the fact that we're still in this fucking game, whether we're broke, poor, depressed, we're still here.
Yes.
You know how many people have gotten up and left already?
Sure.
Left. Said, you know what? Yeah. Oh, it's for fags. You got to be gay to be in L.A. Fuck you, motherfucker. You didn't do the work. And now you're blaming it on whatever. You didn't do the work.
I think a Raging Bull. You never had me down, Ray. You never had me down. Just keep on getting punched and punched. And now, I got to be honest with you, I believe now. I already feel like I made it because of my friends. It's like, this is it. Every day's a gift. I'm paying my bills. What else do I want? I'm happy. I'm the happiest person I know. It's all blessing.
Thank you for keeping us as a family. Thank you for... I look at that picture, and it's a great picture of us three. We're fucking family, you know?
Yeah, it's the best.
And we got Ari Shafir, and we got Rena Zizi.
Rena Zizi's moving out this summer. I can't wait for that. Then before you know it, Ari will be back out here.
He's moving back?
Yeah, he's moving to Pasadena. It's going to be great.
He hasn't sold the house yet.
No, we straightened that out.
So you're going to live there like a doctor. God bless you. Seeing you all depressed when I remember.
You know what? That was the final piece. Where, not to get relit, but I'm starting to finally learn how to trust. And, like, when you were talking about being on the set of The Longest Yard and something about you just almost didn't feel worthy to be there, I lived my life like that for too long, where too blessings, long.
That's what I meant
blessings
to say.
Would come into my life and I didn't feel...
You judged deserved. Them. You
so
judged
I
them
told God no.
Yeah.
I said, no, I deserve to be in hell. And now I'm going, wait a second. I don't deserve... I deserve. I don't want to be in hell anymore.
I don't want to be in hell no more.
Right. So now I just go, all right, I can't control anything, really. I wake up every day, I work hard, and I do all I can do, but I leave the results to God and trust it's all going to work out. And you know what? It always does.
It always does.
It always does.
I sat there on the plane back from Colorado going, if you had any idea what was in my mind when I left town, when I was driving out from Boulder to Longmont to catch whatever road I had to catch, to 70 West, I don't even remember anymore. You guys have no idea what I was thinking. I mean, I just paid for gas with an extra driver's license I had.
Wow.
I found out that if you fill up your tank and you don't have the money, they'll say, yeah, just give me a license to come back. I had two licenses. I found them as I was leaving. I said, this is a free fill-up. This is 800 miles on somebody. That's how I left Bolt, giving these people a license and leaving a $30, whatever it was, that you fill up a tank. Then I don't fucking know. And just how I felt, how bad I felt about myself. How angry I was at my ex-wife and the daughter. And through all that junk, I still had enough belief to get in a Datsun B210 and drive to Ogden, Utah and say, I'm never coming back here after Ogden. I had Ogden, I forget what run that was. I forget where even you end up. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
But that Tuesday, I drove to Ogden, Utah, and the first night I had to share a room with the comic.
Wow.
I still remember one of the comic's jokes that first night. He was a good guy from New York, and he said this joke that, oh, my God, I can't remember the fucking closer, but he used to kill. He was horrible. But he had this joke about, you want to get a woman hot, wipe your dick in the curtain or something. It's a street joke. It's It's an old street gem.
How do you make such and such woman scream twice?
Crazy.
Fuck her in the ass, then wipe your dick on the curtain.
And wipe your dick on the curtain. That was a street joke. He used to say, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the first time I heard that. I was dying.
Yeah, dying. I have two jokes that I died off the bat. One I told Lee, Jesus, a bishop, and a fucking... some Jew is sitting on a park bench, and Jesus is walking in Central Park. Uh-huh. And the cardinal says, Jesus, come over. I got cancer. You know, heal me. And you're healed. And the little cardinal, what can I do for you? The priest, what can I do for you? You know, I have foot cancer. Heal me. He looks at the rabbi. He goes, what can I do for you? He goes, don't touch me. I'm on disability. That, to me, is one of the best jokes I ever heard. And the one with the fucking Jesus on the mountain. With the two thieves and, you know, Peter, and Peter gets beat up and he runs up and they throw him back down. And then Peter, and he runs up to Nazareth and they beat him up and they throw him down the hill. And he's just about to punch the ticket poor Jesus and he looks up and he goes, Peter. And this time, yes, my Lord. And Peter runs up, throws this guy out of the way, punches a Roman soldier, gets stabbed in the back. And as he gets to Jesus, he goes, yes, my Lord. He goes, I can see your house from here. First time I heard that fucking joke, I thought, Jesus Christ, that's a fucking great joke. We'll wrap it up with that. Steve Stamoulin, I love you, cocksucker.
I love you, too.
I'm home this weekend, but next weekend I'm in Wise Guys, Utah. And the week after that, I'm in fucking Laugh, Boston, bitches. Both places have tickets available for you. I want to give a shout out to my sponsors. On it, you know, I'm blue in the fucking face with this shit already. Today I went to jiu-jitsu. I dropped two of those fucking shroom techs. I was sweating profusely. I went to jiu-jitsu at 9:45, and I walked out at 11:30. My underwear were fucking... I had to take my underwear off.
Wow.
My new... my MeUndies. The sweat from my back and the fucking gi, it was... That's brutalizing. Intense. But you know what, man? I did a good class again today. It was just me and him. We rolled like 3 5-minute sets. So that's way beyond I've never done. And I credit it to Shroom Tech. That's how good this product is. Even Hegan asked me last week, he goes, your cardio has improved. Yeah, the 20 pounds has helped to take it off me. But you know what? I've been going to the treadmill. But all that shit I do because of the recovery progress that Ana gives me, whether it's the new mood, the Shroom Tech, the Alpha Brain, this shit will work. This shit.
Do they still make that hemp protein you gave me?
Yes.
That stuff was delicious.
The chocolate.
Delicious. And I'm telling you, I felt stronger. I felt like more.
The fucking chocolate. It's not whey protein. It's plant protein.
Yeah, it doesn't make you feel like.
Right. You digestive. Yes. You shit a lot more.
Yes.
It's weird. When I don't do the protein. When I don't do the protein for a few days, the whey protein. It clogs me up. Shit gets clogged up in there. But the the hemp force, delicious, delicious. I think I might have one in the house. Follow me home.
That would be great.
I may have one in the house. So do me a favor. You heard it here from the fucking horse's mouth. On it. Go to onit.com right now and press in.
Church.
And get 10% off your first fucking order, okay? You're going to love this stuff. There's 100% money-back guarantee on the Alpha Brain. You don't even have to return the product. What does that tell you? When somebody believes in their flagship that much, you can't fuck around with them. Go to onit.com right now. They also have the Stay On It program, which gets mailed to your house on the first every month. You don't have to worry about nothing. Also, who's on tonight? I'm too fucking high. Oh, shit.
Hitty Sings.
I went to the wrong fucking page. That's why. What is wrong with me? Los Gumis Hermanos.
Oh, man.
For the best Gumis in business, you have to be a California resident. But they also have nailedatlife.com. Which is, they make the best vapor pen on the market, okay? It's $50. They give you 20% off. It goes all the way down to $40. It's not that what you're paying for. Do you go to $40?
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's not that what you're paying for, $40. It's the service they give you. I love that Dave guy. You call them with something's missing, a fucking thing in your pen, they will mail it to you the next day. That's what you're paying for. All these other vapor pens you buy, vapor pen, it breaks. They don't know fucking nothing. The one thing with Nailed It Life, we've discussed it a couple times, and I've had people hit me up on my thing going, Joey, they're fucking great. The thing broke. They sent me a new piece, blah, blah, blah. Money, 100% money back guarantee. Go to nailedatlife.com right now if you're a vapor or a dab dude. Press in what?
Joey Diaz.
Boom! And get 20% off the fucking vapor pen right now. Knock it down to $40, all right? Who gives you that type of fucking act? Plus, they have T-shirts on there. Anything that you want to use for dabbing, go to nailedatlife.com right now. What else? Oh, shit. Hitty Cigs, the baddest electronic cigarettes out there in the market. You know why? Because you get 1,200 guaranteed puffs. This is like having three fucking hookers suck your dick for a month. 1,200 guaranteed fucking puffs. Whether it's the cigar, whether it's the light cigar, or whether it's the 24 milligrams, 16 milligram, 8 milligram, or the zero. These things have 1,200 guaranteed puffs. If you go to 7-Eleven and you buy one of the fucking things there, you're going to smoke it for an hour and a half. Tops. Go to hitty6.com and press in.
Joey's Church.
Boom. And get what off?
20%.
20% off your order. Plus, right now, they've given you five of these for 50.
Right.
Get the whole quit smoking program and get the cigar for 50 bucks. Press them what in the box?
Joey's Church. You get all, you get five for 50.
Five for fucking 50. You can't beat that right now. Order that right fucking now if you're thinking of squinting. And last but not least, one of my all-time favorites, Iron Dragon TV. The best classic martial art films. You understand me? If that's what you're into. If you don't know that genre, you're slipping. In fact, we had a guy tonight on Twitter that said he was watching some of the Bruce Lee stuff. He couldn't believe how good The Big Boss was. They don't have Bruce Lee stuff, but what I'm trying to say to you is they have those classic martial art films that Run Run Shaw made. So if you're into that shit, go to irondragontv.com and press in.
Joey.
Boom! And get two free fucking films delivered to your house. You got Iron Dragon TV. You got Hitty Sigs, you got Los Gumis Hermanos, a.k.a. Nailed It Life, and you got Honor.com. Steve Simone, who's better than you?
I love you.
I love you, too. I'm as fucked up as a can of worms. That's why I love this business.
I'm driving everybody home.
We'll be back Thursday at some fucking time. I don't know when. We might be here Wednesday. Keep your fucking Twitter open. Don't forget tomorrow morning, the morning joint with Uncle Joey, 7:30 around there. I love you cocksuckers. Thank you, Steve Simone, you bad motherfucker. You're a talent and a half. What's the story, Lee? Why are you staring at me down? Close it up.
I am.
What are you waiting for?
You just stop talking.
No, aren't you going to do the ads?
Yeah.
All right, do it. Go ahead.
This show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all the great optimization products. Go.
What the fuck, Lee?
I'm slipping. Sorry. Go to hitesigs.com and use code Joey's Church, and you're going to get five for 50. You're going to get five e-cigs for $50. Go to irondragontv.com and use code Joey to get two free movie rentals. And go when you go to nailedatlife.com or Los Gumis Hermanos, use code Joey's Church to get 20% off the premier paper pen on the market.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Glass everywhere, people pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skip the life and dangle. A zircon princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night.
Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job. There's a strike at the station. Me on King Kong, standing on my back. Can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane. I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me. Call, close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Because it's all about money. Ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the gang. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song, cause he hates the places you play and where you stay. Looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you wanna grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
That sound like cowboy, man.
Cool.
Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, Miss Field and Raheem, man.
Hey, upstairs, cooling out.
So what's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the fever, man.
We'll check out Junebug, man.
Hey, yo, you know that girl, Betty?
Yeah, man.
My mom's got bald, man.
What?
Yeah.